Hi, thanks for listening to this episode of Scotchcast. This week, we called it Red Light District for a reason. Nubarama just came back from Europe and has some stories to tell, but they are not fit for children. If you're a kid or have kids listening, do not listen to this episode. Well, at least not yet. Just get them out of the room. Or if you're a kid, just ask your parents for permission. That'll work out well. Thanks. And welcome to the episode of the Scotchcast, coming to you after quite a bit of a break. Everyone has been pretty busy over the last couple weeks. I am joined by only one other man, but, well, he's the one
woman.
Woman!
Love hating. Nubarama!
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Noob. Welcome back to the show.
We've all kind of been like, alright, so you have been in jolly old Europe.
Yes, I've been out of from the colonies back to the mother country of Britain and the old world.
I've started my explosive ordnance course, so,
Does that involve physically, is that, like, technical in the sense of, like, is diagrams and theory, or does that involve actual explosions?
Oh, no, it's both. Point. So we spent the first week just learning fucking organic chemistry, which sucked. But now we're learning about, explosives design, and so, like, fuses and all that kind of stuff, and, like, shape charges and all that kind of stuff. Next week, we're going to be blowing some stuff up at the range.
That's fucking cool. That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, like, I think we're just getting a bunch of... What was it? Nitrocellulose. It's, I think it's Comp B, which is a RDX TNT mixture.
No idea anything except what Composition B. Okay.
Yeah.
I know what Composition B
is. Comp B.
Okay.
So yeah, we're getting like half a stick of that and blowing it up each, just as like a familiarization thing for like, okay, this is the kind of safety procedures you usually go through when you're blowing shit up. The next couple weeks we are finishing the design phase, followed by like a road trip to a bunch of like explosives manufacturing plants.
Oh wow.
And then at the end of course we have a 2-week kind of introduction into demolition operations, and
that's fucking cool.
Yeah, disarming explosives and, like,
so is that all branches from the military send their EOD, or is that within just the Air Force?
No. It's so I'm an armament engineer by trade.
Right.
It's essentially only people with like in that spec or equivalent specs from any of the three services do this course.
Yeah.
But most of the explosive ordnance disposal in Australia is done by Air Force and Army.
Yeah, I presume.
But Air Force runs the school. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
This year, so many armament engineers were brought in that it's only Air Force this year.
Okay.
So essentially, normally we'd have a bunch of Army dudes and they'd be like, yeah, tanks. And we'd be like, whatever, Army. But no, this time around it's just like, and they don't do the, only Air Force does the... little explosives part at the end because right. How like big an emphasis we have in explosive ordnance disposal for air, because like when Australia sets up a like foreign a landing zone in a a foreign country or like any like threatened area, the first people in are usually Air Force, because the first thing you do is you want to set up a runway,
right?
And so, like, explosive ordnance disposal guys from the Air Force are, like, really important because they're essentially first responders. They go out there first and start clearing out that kind of shit. So,
So
that's really cool.
Because, you just assume because, you know, IEDs and such, that Army would be the primary source of EOD. But no, that's not
Well,
the
they are for that specifically.
Right.
For anti-IED stuff, armies are the guys you go to.
But I mean, in terms of like, it more than IEDs.
Yeah.
In terms
of, exactly. Yeah. So generally for it's kind of a mix, but Air Force is a massive showing. Like our IED section is pretty great. Like they actively they pay for us to, like, if I want to go down that path in my career and go to explosive ordnance, which I don't because I don't want to ever get near a bomb event unless I absolutely have to. If they ever do that, they actually pay for your master's in London.
I bet they do.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
And I assume, like, you get some sort of extra danger pay for.
Yeah, you do. You get like a bump in pay, and when you anytime you're doing EOD, you get like another $15,000 a year. It's like it's not bad.
Are you willing to be blown up?
Yeah, like they'll give us the safety brief for our first blow next week, and it's like, okay, so you can hold when you're inserting the timing fuse into the detonator, you hold it like this, and he like puts that in front of his face, and he's like, oh, okay, so normally army and stuff hold like this, and like what they do is they get the detonator. Like, do you know how an explosive train works, like how it generally works for explosives, like a plastic explosive or anything like that?
Like there's something ignites and then it blows up, it goes boom,
pretty much. Yeah, so yeah. How it generally works is like you have your main fill, which is essentially your TNT RDX or composition or something like that, right? But like that stuff, because you don't want it to be very sensitive, isn't very sensitive, so you can like, I wouldn't really throw it, but you can like drop a stick of like plastic explosives and it won't go off, right? Obviously, right? And then you can mold a stick of plastic explosives and it won't blow up in your hands, which is a good thing, which is what you want. But it's like, oh, well, how do you set that off? And it turns out that what we have is explosive train. So you have the initiator, which is your detonator, which is a very small, like 2-inch long thing, little metal thing with like a little bit of really high explosive at the tip. And at the base is just like either like an electronic or heat-based initiator that you just insert. That goes into a second thing, usually, which is called a booster. And then you have your main fill. So boosters, if you think about it, it's like the detonator is really sensitive. The booster is a bit less sensitive, and then your main fill is the least sensitive.
Right. So, see, I know boosters from nuclear weapons.
Yeah, that's how it is. In
a smaller scale, I presume.
Absolutely, yeah. So with the plastic explosive, that is your main fill, and the detonator for those actually has the booster inside it. So it's like inside that is just three layers of explosives. The most sensitive is a very small layer, and then you have like a mediumly sensitive bit of explosive.
Right.
So we're talking about like, even though it's all that, it's only like, I would say like 4 grams of explosive total.
So oh, wow.
Like, yeah. So we're
for
like,
how big of an explosion?
So that's what I'm saying. So it's like, okay, so you hold it down like this. And it's like an army hold like this, which is like near their butt. So usually they grab the detonator, put it near their butt, and then like do it behind their back. So if it goes off unexpectedly, it'll just blow off a chunk of your ass and your hand, but it won't damage your face and skull.
Right.
But then they're like, but for safety, what we do is like we all have to wear safety glasses, and we at full arm extension, you have to do it directly in front of your face. But it's just like, so you know that when you're shoving it in, that the timing cord hasn't been lit, and like nothing's wrong with that, and like you can see,
you can actually see what's happening.
Yeah,
right?
And when you're crimping it, so essentially they're like, okay, so you can hold it like this in front of your face. So with your like, think of your hold it like a hold the like a 2-inch long thing between your thumb and middle finger, with your pointing finger on top. So kind of holding it vertical. You want to hold it vertical,
right?
That's one way to hold it. The other way to hold it is like a cigarette, so with your fingers on either side of it, and like hold and just kind of like forcing it to stay vertical with between your fingers. And so it's like you'd think that holding it one way or the other would have a big deal, but no. If this goes off, it'll take your hand and most of your arm with
regardless
it.
Of what happens. Right.
So just go with whatever you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
And that's just the detonator. And that's like, I'm just like, oh,
it's
I never want to do this.
The detonator would be the harmless part, where it's like it doesn't matter. But no, the detonator could fucking destroy your hand.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, 4 grams of explosives could take off your hand and like a good chunk of your arm. And that's like, and that's the least explosive part of the explosive train. The explosive train, like the fucking half stick of Comp B that we're holding in our hands. This is like, oh fuck. Okay. Yeah, so that's what we do. That's what I have.
So is that course a part of your current position, or is that you specializing into a certain thing?
Okay. So everyone who does armament stuff goes this course. So the first part of it is, as I said, like learning how explosives work, and then different types of explosives, and like the design process, and then at the end, it's like, okay, you do demolition ops and all that kind of stuff.
That's really cool. Yeah, video games.
So yeah, what I'm saying is we've been busy. How was your trip to Europe?
It was fantastic. I mean, again, like I mentioned before off the podcast, I managed to catch a heat wave throughout my 3-week journey across Europe. It peaked at both. It started at 38 degrees in London, and it ended at 38 degrees in Vienna.
Can we do the Fahrenheit conversion of that? Like 38 C2F.
It's very hot.
100 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Super humid. Very, very sunny in Europe. Exceptionally sunny. They don't know what air conditioning is in most places. The museums, for the most part, did not have air conditioning.
We were talking about this before the show, right? Like, you'd think that like people from Australia would be like, oh, no, that 38 degrees, whatever. No, right. Like, a normal day here, it's currently like it's 14 degrees Celsius. And that's granted, it's like pretty much the end of winter. But like just straight up, like our hottest days of summer are usually around 28, 29, maybe 32 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, here like 32 is usually the cap for a normal summer.
Exactly. Like we live in places where it's not the surface of the sun. And it's just like
Well, I mean, like, again, like I'm told that it was highly abnormal and I very much did not luck out in my timing of the trip. Things happened on the trip that proved the point. You'd think in a country where it's, or in a continent where you associate with railways and trains, you know, sort of like railway simulator for the most part takes place in Europe.
Yeah.
In Germany, right? Yeah. Germany by far had the worst transportation experience.
Really?
Of my life.
Really?
So, essentially what happened is, except for the flight from Vienna to London to get back to Canada, I essentially traveled Europe by train,
right?
And Eurostar, which was really cool, you go under the water, under the English Channel to Calais, which is the port of entry into France, and then we took that back to Belgium. That was very smooth. Everything went well, even though 2 days before, French union workers for like the port authority or whatever lit the railway tracks on fire. So we were very close to not being able to enter mainland Europe.
Was that a strike or something?
Yeah, it was a strike, and they took a bunch of tires and lit them on fire on the tracks. But it got working the day before we had to take our train ride, so it was perfect.
Great.
Fucking stereotypical French people. But that aside, so the real problems hit when we got from Brussels to Germany, which is the intercontinental Europe railway or something like that. Essentially, the train was 6 hours long.
Yeah.
Supposedly, it had air conditioning. Supposedly, it had Wi-Fi. It had none of those because those things broke when we got on our carriage. Right. Instead, it was delayed for 2 hours, not waiting delayed. I mean, inside of a train in 38 degrees weather delayed with no air conditioning.
Oh, God.
I don't know what – have you ever – are trains a thing in Australia? Like, trains aren't a big thing here. Like, you can – there's essentially one real train company that you can take, which is called Via Rail here. Mm-hmm. And like, I thought, you know, the standards of Via Rail weren't that great. You know, I would have like 50-minute, 20-minute late trains.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like 2 hours, air conditioning breaks down. Essentially, the idea of checking someone's ticket is like a foreign thing in mainland Europe, because like the ticket checking person came in like 2/3 of the way into the train, and you could have easily avoided them, and they're super lax about it. Yeah. Like one of the trains I took, which I think was from Prague to, Berlin to Prague, which was a 5-hour train ride, they didn't check our tickets, and I paid like $60 for that ticket. And essentially, what happens is you have to pay extra to reserve a seat Otherwise, you do not have a seat on a 6-hour train.
Yeah.
And what happened was, in our like broken down carriage, it was extra hot because on top of the people who have already taken all of their seats, there were people standing up just in the middle of the rows and just making it fucking hot by moving around. And I went to the back near the bathroom, and there were like 15 people sitting there with a giant Doberman just sitting on the floor on the train trip. And it just, oh my god, they don't have any attendants to like check your tickets. They don't tell people where to go and stuff like that.
Wait, when you said like you do not have a seat, you mean you literally don't have a seat?
You do not have physically have a seat. Yeah, what? Exactly. It's not like they provide you the seat later. People are sitting on the floor. Yeah.
What do you mean they're sitting on the floor?
We paid to get our seats reserved. But like you don't have a seat. You physically don't have a seat. Maybe the trains I got on in Europe, like the weather, were atypical of the traditional Cercle Bleu European experience. But it was really shit. That was horrible.
That's shocking.
And it's just like, yeah, like we're just sitting in the fucking, you know, the German farmland. They have a lot of renewable energy, but. Yeah. Like, there's a shit ton of wind farms and solars.
Yeah, solar, it's like 40% or something like that in Germany.
But I mean, like, that shit don't do no good if you can't get your trains to run on electricity properly. If you can't get air conditioning and stuff. Right?
Yeah, you know what? So, yeah. But was it a case of, like, everyone had their aircon on, so they, like, hit them, and they clearly didn't have enough energy. They weren't expecting that much of it.
All of the other carriages, it seemed, either didn't have it as bad as we did, or their thing worked fine.
Oh, right? Okay. So it's just a shit train. Yeah, so just
our carriage got extra fucked. But, like...
That's garbage.
But the thing is, like, I would have thought that was, like, a one-off thing. But, right. Again, like, that Berlin to Prague train was essentially... This time, it just... The train is weird in the sense that there... Most trains are, like, open air, right? Your seats are just, like, out in the main carriage, right? But essentially what they have is they have separate booths inside of the carriage that separate seats, right? Essentially, like, it's, like, a booth of 6 seats. So that leaves maybe about a 3-4 foot – I mean, no, like, 3-2 foot space for people to walk through to the carriages, right?
Okay, and yep.
This is fine if you hire people for your train company to show people where to go. But instead, what happened was people got on their trains from both sides of the carriage, and they all tried to get through, meaning that I ended up standing for 45 minutes with my luggage, unable to get to my seat in the middle of the train.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. It's and then, like, a further hour delay within the train.
Jeez.
And you know what the sad part is? The trains were the... From that point on, the trains were the best... case scenario for transportation. So what happened on my plane ride is my plane got delayed by 24 hours.
I assume you got London off the plane at some point.
London Heathrow to Toronto. Okay. So you work with the Air Force, so I think you have an idea of what happened. So we all get on the airplane.
Mm.
Everyone's seated. In fact, we board a little bit early, and the pilot's like, oh, we're going to arrive a little bit early in Toronto because we can get quickly. And I'm like, that's great. You know, it was like 7 p.m. local time, and I would arrive in Toronto at about 9 p.m. due to the time.
Right.
And, like, that's perfect. You know, I'm going to sleep. So I fell asleep for about 45 minutes, and then I wake up, and we're still on the runway. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. Must be a little delay. And then the pilot goes on the intercom and says, we've had to taxi to a separate area, because the plane behind us has reported that we are leaking hydraulic fluid out of our right wing.
What?
As it was taking off.
Wait, what company was the airlines again?
Air Canada.
Oh, okay, so it's your fault.
So, it's not my fault. I was a victim. Essentially, like, hydraulic fluid is the thing that makes everything run on the plane, right?
Yeah.
And essentially, we were going onto the runway to take off. And it was leaking huge. Like, I looked to the right, and there was this enormous pool of fluid around.
No way.
Essentially, yeah, the pilot or the plane behind them had reported that, you know, did you notice that your fucking plane is leaking water out of your wing? And so we had to get off, the plane had to taxi off to the side. And then the guy goes on the intercom and says, okay, so we have a problem here. They won't, like, let us taxi back to the back to the gates because it's leaking hydraulic fluid and they don't want that everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Essentially, the hydraulic fluid only leaks when the engine is, like, running.
Right, yeah.
And then they're like, and they're, we can't actually get towed because to get towed, we have to turn off the engine. And the auxiliary power is not on. We can't turn on the auxiliary power to turn off the engine. So we're sitting on this plane leaking hydraulic fluid from the right wing, and the pilot is unable to turn off his engine due to lack of power from the hydraulic fluid seeping in.
That's,
and I'm told that that's a fucking nightmare scenario. And if like if we had taken off, we would have fucking crashed into this ocean.
Oh, wow.
And so what happens is,
and he
like,
didn't know. He didn't know. Like, someone else told him.
Well, I guess at that, when they noticed, it didn't leak enough for them to notice on the gauge, right? There was no, like, beeping lights or whatever, which I presume, I hope that's a standard on planes where it'll tell you, hey, you're losing control of your plane. But essentially, so we're sitting there in the runway for about an hour, and then he goes, okay, we finally turned off the engine.
Wow.
They've brought the thing, you know, they brought the tow to bring us back to the gates. And it's like, they couldn't bring us back directly to the gate because, you know, the gate was taken.
Yeah, by another plane.
So what happened?
Because fucking Heathrow.
So they had to bring in buses to take us. And then we went back to the whatever gate. And then there's an Air Canada representative who was like, okay, so there is a flight coming back that's arriving in Heathrow for 10 p.m. And essentially, it's supposed to stay the night. So we can actually fly back tonight. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Not a huge deal, right?
Yep.
I would rather be 4 hours late than in the bottom of the ocean. So we're sitting, and then, you know, it's like, oh, we've been delayed another 30 minutes. Okay? It's like, whatever. Plane arrives.
So does like, it say, is Heathrow Airport, like, nice inside? Is it a place that you don't mind?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but it's like, I mean, it's nice for an airport. But I mean, you don't want to stay at the airport for so like we've been at the airport for 12 hours.
Oh, jeez!
Told like I told you earlier, like we had to come in the morning for someone else.
Yeah.
And essentially, you know, we've been sitting at this airport now for about over 12 hours.
This is so, all the same day as the other.
This is all the same day. This is the same day. Yeah.
Oh,
so we
man.
Arrived. We arrived in Heathrow at 7. So we started off the day at 4 a.m. in the morning. And because, like, all my sleep schedule was fucked, I hadn't slept since 11 p.m. or the night before. So at this point, I was, like, about 36 hours without sleep.
Oh, jeez.
So I was pretty fucking out of it. And then they start lining people up to get on the plane that just arrived. And then for 30 minutes, like, people from Zone A and Zone B were lined up. We were in, like, Zone D or whatever.
Right.
I'm not sure. But essentially, so they lined everyone up, and they made people stand for 45 minutes, and then some fat dude comes down and says, the planes is canceled.
Wow. This is, and oh, then, man.
And then it's just like he fucking gathers everyone up. People are rightly fucking furious, right? It's just like, you know, they're dicking us on. It's like, why would you keep people? It's like, it's pretty obvious. Like, obviously, there's like a limit on how much pilots can fly per day.
Right.
It's like, surely you would have known that by the time, you know, you didn't have to line us up and then tell us the plane is canceled.
Yeah. That's like.
And so
bullshit.
People are angry. And then the guy's just being like like a dick about it, like a total dick.
Yeah.
And then some guy took a picture of him being like, I'm going to send this to Air Canada. And then the guy's like, delete that picture right now. And then
it's like, no, I don't
already
I
sent
don't
to Air Canada. And then he fucking goes on a temper tantrum and is like, okay, if you take pictures of me, you can go find what to do what yourself. And then goes and sits down.
What? Who is this person?
What and is, then another person.
Is he Canadian?
Come up. No, he had a British accent.
Okay.
So I presume he wasn't Canadian.
Okay.
And then, and then another person. So at this point, it's like 12 in the morning, 12 a.m. And then they lead us out of the thing. We have to, you know, check out. And then people buy duty, and a lot of people had duty-free luggage, or duty-free, like duty-free alcohol and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, don't worry, as long as you have the receipt, you can bring it back tomorrow. And then they lead us to this bus bay on Heathrow that takes us to these hotels. And we stood there for about 2 hours waiting for the bus because they let people on one by one by one by one. And there was like 300 people on the plane. So we got on the bus. The bus driver was supposed to take us to a hotel. But then he got lost, so we arrived at the hotel for 3 a.m.
What a fucking nightmare!
And then it was like it's essentially like a, like a bed and breakfast kind of place.
Is this like your first day of the trip? Like essentially,
this is my last day. So I'm ready. Okay. Well, at this point, I've probably not slept for over 48 hours or something like that. So I fucking crash, and then 4 in the morning, the phone rings because they had told us that the flight was going to be at like 10 in the morning, so the bus will come pick us up at 7.
Right.
And the phone rings at 4 in the morning being like, flight's delayed until 1 p.m., so you can sleep in all you want.
Yay! Except they thanks for me waking up me up.
Yeah, exactly.
You fucking assholes. Just,
so we get on the bus.
How about you call me at 7? You know, like when you... Exactly. Fucking asshole.
And then... and then we get, and I'm told, and like some of the people we met on the plane, it's like we'd been out of the plane for so long that I recognized everybody, and like I talked to a good chunk of the 300 people that were on the flight, and like made friends with a bunch of them, and we were just bonding over fucking swearing off Air Canada.
Wow.
And it just sort of like we get there, and then of course I hear people didn't get a room until 5 in the morning because the hotel they first got arrived there, they're like, yeah, we don't have enough beds for you, and then they had to be moved to a different place.
Jeez.
It's just a fucking mess. And then we get there, and of course the duty free was bullshit. Like airport security threw that shit out.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the flight gets delayed for another hour.
You're making this up. You couldn't.
No. No. Think- no. And then we get on the flight. And then we were in the air, flight delayed another hour due to weather, and then got delayed another 30 minutes on the runway when we arrived. Jeez. And then it took me an hour to get my baggage because there was some problem with the baggage.
Welcome back to Canada.
It was by far the worst travel experience. And you know what the sad thing is?
What?
This has happened to me before on Air Canada when I was a kid. I also had to stay the night in British Columbia. It just never fly Air Canada. If you find an Air Canada flight for free, don't take it because it's worth. Yeah, so it's like, all I got was like this card being like, oh, next time you book a flight, we'll give you a discount.
Were
so
you
at some point,
alone at this point, or was that someone?
No. There's like one other guy who came with me to Europe. It's unfortunate that's how I had to end my trip. I mean, thank God there were people on my flight. Like a third of the people on my flight, this was a connecting flight for them. So
their
flights were all fucked. And for some people, it was like the start of their vacation. So I feel for them. I definitely feel for them. But yeah.
That's pain. Oh, man. But aside from that, Europe was awesome.
Europe, I mean, minus the heat, the horrible travel experience, a bad person to travel with, it was great.
Oh, wow.
I feel like I have a really good story, but it might be bad to tell it in a public forum.
Yeah.
If
it's about the person I think you're talking about, then
perhaps. No. It's not about the person. I went to a brothel.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. So this is I need to remind people at home, this is a explicit podcast.
Explicit podcast.
Yeah. We don't intend this podcast for children. If you're a child listening to this podcast, or if you have a child who is listening in on this podcast, this is ample opportunity to turn it off right now. I definitely want to hear the brothel story.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, one of the friends on our trip, he's like a manly man dude, mm-hmm. right? Not an actual manly man dude because he's like a lanky white guy. But I mean, like, he's Israeli, you know, he's been in the IDF, whatever. He throws white phosphorus at children, whatever. He's like hardened war vet, whatever.
Sure.
But essentially, so he... The one thing he constantly talked about before the trip is like, let's go to a strip club. Let's go to the strip clubs. Like he goes to the strip clubs regularly in his life.
Oh,
right?
Really?
Just every weekend, every other week or something that.
Okay. For the record, I've never been.
It's like you don't go alone, obviously. He goes with like coworkers and stuff like that. Okay. It's a very social. Like, and I've been to strip club before, obviously, in Montreal.
I've never been to a strip club. I still have never been to a strip club.
I heard Australia is pretty like liberal about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we are, but it's like why? I don't understand.
I went, I guess, it's been a year now in Montreal with my friends because it's like we were in Montreal and we're like, oh, none of us had been to a strip club before. Yeah. And then we're like, you guys want to go to a strip club? And it wasn't as weird because like half of the group were girls. So it didn't feel as weird and creepy.
Does that make it more weird?
Not really, because, okay. Well, not maybe for them, but for me, I could justify it as, like, I'm not here to see naked ladies. I'm here because I was full of my friends. And it's sort of like, yeah.
Okay,
but essentially,
sure.
Like, so he keeps going on about going to strip clubs, going to brothels, whatever. All so, right. In Germany, there's a place called the FKK Artemis, and I think FKK in German is for, like, fully nude or something like that. And essentially the idea of this place is it's like a brothel. It's like a giant brothel with, like, an €80 entry fee.
Is that high?
And then that's that €80 for an entry fee, just the entry fee. That's not including paying for sex, which
is
like €60.
High for a brothel or low? Do brothels usually?
You don't usually don't pay. I don't think you pay that much. I don't know. I've never been to one, but essentially, it's apparently super high end.
Okay, all right.
And so
did the place look fancy?
It looked fancy. Yeah, there's like a pool. There's a sauna. There's like massage tape, like professional masseurs, and. Okay. So my friend's saying, like, guys, let's go to this brothel. And nobody's biting because nobody wants to go to a fucking brothel because it's creepy. I think a lot of people had moral reservations against paying for sex.
Yeah.
I don't have any moral reservations. I just didn't want to spend money. purely economic.
Yeah, sure.
But essentially,
there's like, nothing wrong with
go.
That.
Why are you guys being fucking faggots? Oh, excuse my language. That's verbatim. I am not homophobic.
You're just quoting him. Yeah,
all right. Quoting him. And so, yeah, he keeps on pestering us, and he's like, oh, this is the one thing I wanted to do in Berlin a lot. And I'm like, no. And he's like, okay, I'll pay for you. And I'm like, no, I'm not going. And then he says, there's a buffet, all-you-can-eat buffet, open until 5 a.m. in the morning.
You
so
have
I went
me.
With him. And then I... And then I went with him. So
you piece of shit.
We went. So he would have paid for my entry fee. He can fucking have sex with a prostitute. I get my food. No.
Sure.
And it's essentially like the setup is supposedly like all of the workers who work at the brothel essentially just like walk around naked.
And then, okay. Like,
yeah, kind of thing.
Right.
And it's like. I get to look at naked ladies, and I get to eat food all I can want. And it's go lie down in a pool or something, whatever. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And then so we get on the train, and so we figure it out on Google Maps. I mean, I can't have imagined what traveling would have been like without roaming and Google Maps.
Oh, dude.
I don't
know
how people did it in the 80s or the 90s.
I can't even imagine like how you could buy a tourist map.
I genuinely cannot imagine. Yeah, exactly. How people got around. And so we figured out the train ride, like we could take the public transport because public transport is actually amazing in Europe.
Right.
That's just in general everywhere. Czech Republic, Vienna, everywhere.
Okay, so not the trains between places.
Not rail, but like public transport, like subways, exact trams, etc.
Okay, we don't have the distinction in terms of how we call transport.
Exactly.
So like I was confused earlier, but I kind of got your dream. Yeah, so like within a city, the interlinking stuff is fine, but between cities, it's shit.
Between cities, right. Where it's run by companies rather than the government.
Right.
So...
Okay, because that's what I keep hearing. I keep hearing Europe's got good public transport. And then, all right.
Yeah. So it's like 12 a.m., we get on the tram, we make it to the train station. We've never been to the train station, like the overground trains within the city. It's called the S-Bahn or something. Hmm. So at this point, I'm like, I'm like getting cold feet, being like, oh, do I really want to ever have said I've been to a brothel? I personally didn't, but I was worried about what other people would have thought of me.
I don't know. And if it's like, a fancy brothel, that's cool. I don't know.
But it's just, it's sort of like,
all right, sorry, we just had a quick technical glitch there. You were at a train station and you were
waiting
worried.
Waiting to go to the brothel. Kind of cold feet, worried about what friends would think of me.
Yeah.
And it's like, my friend told me, it's like, if you ever get a girlfriend ever again, which I don't think you will, it's like, you can never tell them that you go into a brothel because people would think that's the worst thing ever.
I don't know if that's how things work.
I mean, like, you could argue in terms of the sense of, like, maybe human trafficking. I don't think so because it's not like we're not in Thailand
is
or something.
Brothel like a dirty term?
I think because the idea of paying for sex in general, right?
Yeah, like what's
negative thing?
What's the alternative? Like, there's like classy institutions where this kind of stuff happens.
Well, alternative is to not pay for sex.
No, right? I mean, like, alternative names for the institution. Like,
oh, no. No, I don't think so.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
A Brodello? Maybe Bordello? I think that's what it's... Something like that?
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Okay, right. So I'm just wondering, like, a big place, which is like a full, like... massive, like, mansion-y place with, like, a bunch of shit happening inside. Like,
that's still a harem. A brothel.
That's, yeah. Okay, I don't know. Anyway, keep going.
But, yeah, so I'm like, whatever. And essentially, so we get on the train, no turning back now.
Mm-hmm.
The train goes one stop and then goes backwards.
Are you, like, 12 years old? Like, are you, like, old enough to go into a brothel?
Oh, yeah. But,
how old are you?
Like, yeah, 19.
As if that's allowed.
Yeah. No.
Really? That's okay.
Fine. Yeah.
All right. Sure. All right. So the train goes backwards?
The train goes backwards. Back to the stuff we started off.
What do you mean?
I mean, we get on the train at stop one, it goes to stop two, and then it goes back to stop one.
What?
And then we're like, what the fuck? Okay. We wait 50 minutes for the next train. This time it goes to stop three, and then it starts turning back.
No,
and then we have to get off at stop two.
What are you talking about? That's not how anything works.
And essentially, we get on, and then it keeps on going through. And then this time it goes to stop four. We get off at stop four, being like, "All right, I think we caught on. This is going to go backwards." And it went backwards. So we went on a different train. This time it went to stop five, and then started going backwards from there. And essentially, we figured out the next day that there were construction going on the S-Bahn line, and we could not go by train. And at that point, it was 1:45 a.m. Like,
no.
We'd be trying, like, an hour. And so we went back. So it's like, yeah.
What a retarded way of doing it!
Yep. Well, obviously, they announced stuff in German, and everyone got off. And we just thought... This must be a crowded station. It must be like a central line station. People are getting off. And then surely the train started going backwards.
Wow. That's so dumb. But would the next one have gone to six? Like, is that... I don't know.
I think it stopped at five. It seemed to have stopped at five, okay, permanently.
Oh, wow. I've never heard of E like that.
But that's only part one of my brothel story.
Okay, go, continue.
Part two. Czech Republic, right?
Oh, this is a different. This
is a different city.
Okay,
the same people.
Same objective. Different.
Yeah.
City.
Same. Well, from at this point, I'm like, okay, I didn't want to go to a strip club in Prague because I've only heard bad things, and I didn't want to fucking get stabbed or like attacked by like Russians or whatever.
Okay.
So he like somehow strip club. I guess people find more morally acceptable.
Really.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I guess so. But so morally.
So he rallies a group of four of us, right?
Okay.
So
he's
out of
really
the four
is
of
really
us,
keen. He sounds really
yeah,
keen.
He's,
all right.
Yeah, yeah. And like two of the four have never been to a strip club. So me and the pervert friend have been to strip clubs, mm-hmm. but the other two have not. And so it's a place. Should I plug it? I shouldn't. Yeah, probably.
You know what? Yeah, sure. Give it a plug. For anybody in the Czech Republic.
I mean, it's a popular sex tourism destination, I am told. It's called Show Park, I think.
Show Park. I'm going to Google this.
Yeah, Google it. The other one was called Artemis FKK. But for anyone interested, essentially, yeah, so we this time, you know, we figured it out properly. So we got to the place. And the interesting thing about Show Park is that it is not only a strip club, but it is a strip club with a brothel attached to it.
Right.
Right. But
it's a twofer.
It's a twofer. Yeah, it's a two for one.
There's apparently two Show Park Prague.
Yes. There's two locations.
There's
we
Da Vinci
went to the
and
one,
Market.
Market.
Okay.
Market. Yeah.
Market. All
that's
right.
The one we went to. And essentially, like, Prague drinks are, like, notoriously cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, probably about $2 for a pint of beer. Or less than $2 for a pint of beer
right.
at a bar. It's really cheap.
Okay.
But, that's of course, good. Like, strip clubs, they get money from you on the drinks and the dances.
Right.
So entry thing wasn't that big of a deal. It was like $4.
Yeah.
And then we get there. I get a ladies' drink because I don't like alcohol that much.
Mm-hmm.
I get a swimming pool cocktail.
what's a swimming pool? Don't worry, I'll Google. Like, you
coconut.
And,
okay. essentially, so yeah, we sit down. I'm horrible with alcohol, not in the sense that I dislike the taste of alcohol. Like, that's part of it. But I get drunk.
This is a girly fucking drink.
It is a girly fucking drink.
That's why.
I get
light blue.
Yeah, I get tipsy very quickly. My face gets super red if I have like a bottle of beer. Yes, it's very Asian of me.
Yeah, you're the token Asian. I didn't want to say it, but there
and
you
so
go.
At
you
this point, it. Like I had like 2 bottles of beer, and now I'm doing the swimming pool, and we sit down, and then a pretty lady comes to sit down beside us, and it's like, oh hey, where are you from? And then we're like, oh, we're from different places. We're on a trip to Europe. And then somebody asked as a joke, where are you from? And she seriously answered, oh, I am from Prague.
Oh, okay, great.
Of course, this is a dancer, not a regular person who comes and approaches
us. Of course, yeah.
Right. And then...
she's in the uniform, per se.
Right. But essentially, like, I've never... like, again, I've only been to one strip club, and that was in Montreal. And it's like, generally, they go for, like, a more harder sell. And if you're not interested, they just walk away, right?
Okay.
For the dance.
All right. Speaking as an expert...
Speaking as, like, I've been to a strip club once.
A veteran, right? Yeah.
A veteran, yeah. But it's sort
one
of
one
like
tour.
One single tour of duty, yes. Still got PTSD. Still have it.
Yep.
But the thing is, like, she just asked for a dance, and then we're like, oh, maybe later, like right. My friend said. And then she just sat there. And then it was super awkward and silent. And then, of course, I'm not in the right mindset, right? So I'm like,
of course, you're hard done with 4 drinks.
I'm not hard done with, like, but I'm like, when I drink, I'm not that talkative.
Okay.
But it was too not talkative for me. So I fucking say, wow, this is a super fluid conversation.
Oh no, you
sarcastically, obviously. If it was, I think if it, I said it in a way that was tongue-in-cheek. And
so
I think,
you think now in...
But the thing is, right, she was fine in English, but people who are not... Eastern Europeans are not great at the nuances of humor wordplay.
Okay.
And then she goes, excuse me, what did you say? I couldn't hear you.
Oh, okay.
And then I
all
repeated
right.
it. No,
you
and then
it.
I repeated
you
it. And then she thought of it for a second and then laughed. I didn't know that was a polite laugh or not. And then... she tells one of my friends, it's like, do you want to dance? And I'm like, what do you say, man? You want to dance with the pretty lady? I'll pay for it for you. And essentially, the prices in Prague are insane, right? So in like Canada, it's like 15 minutes for like a full contact dance for one song.
So a lap dance.
And that $15 for a lap dance, right?
Oh, okay.
Prague was was equivalent of like $50 for a 15-minute dance. So I guess it sort of works out, but
that sounds about right. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't know. But essentially, he was like, my friend was like, oh, I don't really want to do it. And then one of my other friends, the one who's like a pervert, is like, what if we all get a dance? What if we all get a dance from this one lady? And
how does that work?
That's what I thought. I'm like, okay, so this could go one direction, right? I thought it was going to be like it was four, like we would be in like 4 chairs and then she'd like alternate dancing between us.
Yeah,
and I'm
know.
Like, that's.
Like,
I don't
how,
know.
How
and so
that
she's
works.
Like, oh, yeah, okay. That's totally fine. You know, you can get that. And then so she fucking leads us into a room.
No.
In a fucking room, and inside is a shower and a big mattress.
What are you talking about? Why is it?
And then she's like, take off your shoes. Oh. And I'm like, pardon?
Take off your shoes.
And then she's like, take off your shoes. And I'm like, oh, what are we doing? And then she's like, well, I can't dance if you don't take off your shoes. And so she wanted us to get on the fucking bed.
I don't even know.
So... we're sitting on the bed, so we all four of us get on the fucking bed, and we're sitting like cross-legged on this bed, and I'm like, oh man, this is just like kindergarten. And I didn't realize how much like kindergarten it was. Instead of a teacher, it's stripper dancing for money. And
that's super awkward.
It's not even the most awkward part yet, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Get on, and I'm like, everyone's sitting cross-legged. Two of them, again, not been a strip club. They're super fucking nervous. I was trying my best not to fucking break out hysterically into laughing. Like, I thought I was going to throw up. Like, I was really holding it in. And I just had this fucking dumb grin on my face, like, trying not to laugh. And I hope I didn't look condescending or anything. But it's like, so I was trying not to sit cross-legged because it felt so weird. So I did the thing where it's like the right leg, it's like you're sitting as if you're cross-legged, but one the left leg, you're like putting up kind of thing. I don't know if you – I don't know how to describe it.
No,
essentially, I needed to be like a fucking box to give her space to dance at the center of the bed.
Okay. All right. Sure.
And then she starts doing the dance, whatever. It was sort of not worth the money because it wasn't a lap dance. It was just her dancing naked on the bed.
Okay, so... And
part of the hilarity was two of them had not been to one. One was super fucking awkward. Like, he was so nervous.
Right.
Like, his face was... He was... I think it might have either been me drinking or he was literally, like, shaking.
This could be the first time he ever saw a woman naked. You never know. So maybe, what I love about this story is the people present. And
Yeah.
And for like we're telling the story. I don't want to go into names because, but I love the people present. These are like the biggest. Okay, to get put in perspective, this is a Europe trip for like people who met each other through a giant bomb. So
exactly.
It's like, so it's like,
most people I can say are pretty normal.
Yeah.
Some less normal, and
a particular man is a gem.
Doesn't have to be a man. A person. Like the people with us were like laid back, cool, normal people.
Right.
But
so they're totally, freaking out.
I mean,
now.
Like, even if they're like a normal person, it's just like, if it's the first time at a strip club, it's pretty weird. Right?
Yeah. It's super awkward.
So, like, me and the other guy were fine. But essentially, what had happened was, so we're sitting there, all four of us. with their legs crossed, and this person is dancing, and then I'm trying to figure out how to best go to the next part.
You don't. No.
So one is just like, he has his hands on his lap.
No.
He's just not having it. He's just like, I'm too nervous. The other, I think, was trying to act cool by smiling, but it looked like a creeper smile, like he was like a sexual pervert. And I was just trying my best not to fucking burst out laughing.
Yeah.
And then she's taking off, like, I think she was taking off her bra.
Yeah.
The music fucking stops. And then it's dead fucking silence. No. She stops dancing, and then she's like, oh, the music should be on in a second. It doesn't come back.
Oh, no.
Silence, and then she's like, I'll just get back to dancing. And I'm like, and I'm to my friend, sing us a song. Yeah. Yeah. And then at some point, the music comes back on.
That was like the kind of awkward that makes your stomach hurt. Yeah. Like, yeah. I had that in the moment, oh god, and just like, just freezing up, like, trying to find the best way to, like, looking for the exits of the room, like, you know. Yeah. That's terrible.
I mean, she was a very pretty lady who was good at her job.
Okay.
But it's strippers without music while cross-legged sitting down in a group of four.
You know what? Do you remember her name? Because I'm perfectly happy plugging her name.
Her name was, I think it was Katarina. She was extremely attractive. Nice. She was by far the most attractive at the strip club.
Wow.
And when she went on the stage to dance, she was like the only person who knew how to pole dance.
Jeez.
So, I mean, she was good at what she was doing.
I mean,
you can only do so much, even if you are good at the job, when the clientele is subpar.
When the clients don't know what you're doing, you don't really know speak their language. Also, the music stops up between your fucking striptease. Oh, wow. All right.
And
all right.
You know, we went back, and then she came back to sit us at the table, and then she went up to dance, and I almost said break a leg, but then I realized she wouldn't get it and think I just said go break a leg.
Oh, God.
That's horrible. Fine, say it. But so we go upstairs to the brothel part.
This isn't over? This is more?
It's not over. No, okay. No, there's more.
All right, and then strapping myself in.
And this is what we're calling the gauntlet, right?
Okay.
And essentially how the setup is all of the sex workers rent out a room within the brothel, because brothels are strictly speaking illegal.
Right.
So essentially what the establishment does, from what I read, is like they rent out the rooms to the prostitutes, because prostitution itself is not illegal,
okay.
Right? So it's like they're not pimping or doing brothel-y stuff. They're simply acting as a... like a place where you
yeah,
can
they're
get
they're renting
a,
out the room, money. So that's essentially
exactly.
Subletting a place.
Essentially, yeah. So there are this big corridor filled with sex workers who essentially proposition sex,
do
and the
just,
upstairs is like
are
the
they
brothel
just standing
thing.
Outside their rooms or something, or
that's what I'm saying. We come upstairs, and my friend immediately gets attacked by this 6'5" black woman who grabs him, grabs him in his crotch, and says, "Do you want to pay for sex?"
Oh god.
And my other friend has to physically grab him and tell her he's not looking for anything right now.
No.
And then we run the gauntlet as like a joke. Like at this point I've had like another beer. And then so we go to the corridor and immediately that same woman goes back to my same friend, grabs him in the buttock or grabs his hand and puts his hand on her butt.
Oh
and
no.
Then it's like, "Where are you from?" And he's like, "From the United Kingdom." And she's like, "I'm from South Africa." And then we had to pull him away again. Anyways, that was essentially... And then my friend apparently got something wet on his hand, my other friend. But that ends this weird adventure. It was fun. It was a good story. It was uncomfortable and awkward, the most awkward experience of my life. But I think it was worth it for the stories to tell.
We've had a very different couple of weeks, you and I.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I also went to museums. Do you
yeah,
want to hear
sure.
About
yeah, you also did the Europe thing.
I also went ate delicious European food, which
yep.
is like top notch.
Yeah.
I guess generally when one thinks of European cuisine, it's almost exclusively Italian and French. But what central European or like sausages, right, for Germany. But essentially what a lot of it is you get really hearty meals in Central Europe, so very meaty. So you'll have beef goulash, for example, is this like beef sauce with beef and dumplings, which European dumplings
so
are bread boiled in water, and they're
right.
super soft, and then you dip it in the sauce. Like Wiener Schnitzel, of course, which I always thought Wiener Schnitzel was like a long thing, like a sausagey thing.
Right.
But it's actually like a big fried pork thing, right? Yeah, but the food was delicious.
Yeah.
Awkward things happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good trip.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I threw up in Covent Garden on the first day in the United Kingdom on the street in front of a boutique handbag store.
Why
that was pretty good.
Why did you throw up?
Because, like, I had not... I had just arrived in London. I hadn't slept in 36 hours, or I hadn't drank anything or eaten anything in 12. And I chugged down a pint of lager.
Oh,
and then I ate an enormous hamburger, and then I threw up all over the
okay.
floor in the Covent Garden, which is like this boutique tourist area where there are no like it's just like walking area. It's like a shopping center.
Oh, I swear.
And I walked away.
It when nerds
good.
When nerds go on trips, they get into way worse situations than we're like like jocks go on trips.
I think a good 50% of us were pretty normal.
Right.
65.
Sure. Yeah, except for that one dude. I don't know. Anyway.
Except for that one. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So
was my week. Not as maybe life-threatening. Who knows? The plane part was pretty life-threatening, but yeah.
So
not
I
as life-threatening
to,
as your week.
I need
yeah.
to apologize to anyone who... The inevitable one or two people out there who did have a child listen to most of that conversation and not realize that they were in the room or something.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's
my dad came in the room a bunch of times, and I don't think he... what I was talking about, so he walked out all
yeah,
normal.
Great.
So there you go.
Sure. So video games. there's no real
okay video games.
There's really nothing I could.
Oh, also like
what?
The day I came 2 days after I came back, I moved house, so I had to pack.
Oh
after.
Shit, serious. All right.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Man. I live on the 35th floor of a condominium now.
Wow.
And my ears go pop when I go on the elevator.
That's
it's
nuts.
Crazy.
Is
yeah.
it a nice view?
It's an amazing view.
That's cool.
It's not the view of the city, but the suburb.
Okay.
But it's still a nice view
yeah,
at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something nice about like looking down at things from really
high. Oh, for sure.
Anyway, all right. So, I'm assuming you didn't play any video games on your trip.
I had someone who played 55 hours, but no, I hadn't. It felt weird touching a mouse after like 4 weeks.
Huh.
It was really weird. Yeah.
Weird.
Because yeah, I've been only on like touchscreen, and I guess that's what touchscreen people. It does replace the PC to a certain point.
Absolutely. But I respect the intention of, hey, I'm going on a trip with my friends. I'm not going to play video games.
Yes, I think most people would do. Any normal person would do that for sure.
Sure, but thankfully I've played a shitload of video games. In terms of number,
yeah.
I didn't put many hours into any of them, but I played a couple of video games. I don't know.
Okay.
It was my birthday yesterday. I'm now an old ass man, 27.
Oh wow! Happy birthday! How old are you?
27 now.
That's not that old.
Yeah,
there are older people on the trip who are unemployed. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, sure.
There are also younger people who own their own house. So,
oh god, I totally. That is like one of the few things that I'm legit jealous about is when someone owns their own house. Anyway, so So three of my friends and I all have birthdays within like a 2 week period, and you think that that would be like oh that would make it extra special, but no, it just
means
that'd
be shit. No, yeah, that'd be ruining it. Exactly. Just not another fucking birthday. Can we skip yours for next year?
Pretty much. It's just like none of us end up celebrating our birthday because it's just not particularly interesting. So instead, we just hang out. And so yesterday, we hung out at a friend's place, and I specifically the first time ever was able to convince them to play party games. And which included Sports Friends, which actually didn't go over as well as I thought it would.
Really?
Yeah, I brought my PS4. I know. So what we tried everything. It's like the everything but Joust edition because we played on PC. Okay.
Oh so. Wait, do you mean Sports Friends as in friends you knew from playing sports?
No. I mean the game Sports Friends.
Oh, okay. I was confused there.
Oh, okay. No. These are like high school friends, like lifers. They're lifers. The guys I've always like hung out with. So yeah, we played Sports Friends. That didn't actually go over that well, but it's partially because like, the first time we plugged it in, like we only had two PS4 controllers, and the first time we plugged it in, it did this weird thing where like, each controller was assigned to two players, and so like only two people could play and they'd be controlling. Like, so say you're playing a four-player game, one controller would play the left team and one controller would play the right team. So it just didn't work. It just like didn't realize what the fuck we were trying to do.
Okay.
So that just broke it. And then we were able to scramble together some like fucking Xbox 360 controllers and shit and get it working. But yeah, it just didn't really catch on. Like, there's something about Sports Friends where like you have to have the right group of people. Like when playing video games with groups, there's two parts to it. One, it has to be a good video game, and I'll say Sports Friends is a good video game. But two, the group of people itself have to click with the game.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yes.
So like it was, and like my group of friends, like we're all pretty serious gamers. But like for some reason, just like the way Sports Friends worked, like Bari Ball or whatever it was, like. It's essentially just like a broken down kind of sport, so it's like it didn't really like really click with us, so that kind of fell flat. Then we played Nidhogg, and
that's a fucking awesome game.
That is an awesome game, and it really clicked with like two of the guys in our group. So like,
okay,
like the main thing is like it's a really I find it like really fucking tiring because
really
yeah because especially when we have a bunch of people who like have been playing games their whole life and like everyone is kind of the same skill level, matches can go for like a good 5-10 minutes.
They do not stop.
Yeah, it's like continue. It's like it. If you're sitting down to play a round of Nidhogg with someone similarly skilled to you, it is like a commitment on your part because you have to stick to it, like. The runaway victories, like you could tell when people just got legitimately tired because people just started running away with it. Like you just like jump over them, like do a flying kick and then roll.
No combat. You realize at a certain point there's no point in fighting anymore.
Yeah. Because like two people are just too tired to like try to do the whole fencing thing with like heights and stances and shit. And like they were like, just fuck it and just run. So, but it really clicked. Like, people really love Nidhogg. And it's one of those games you can really watch as well. So, like, because it's only two players, obviously not everyone's playing at once because there's four of us, but you can definitely get some enjoyment from watching two people, like, who are good at the game, play Nidhogg.
Right.
So that was really fun. But the game that really got us going, the game that we all fucking, like, loved and played for, like, 4 hours yesterday as a group, using two keyboards and two PS4 controllers.
Damn.
Because people were like, no, I'm a PC gamer, I want to use a keyboard. And we were like, okay, well, we'll fucking figure out and make it work. Was Lethal League.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've heard only good things about that game, so that's not surprising.
Fuck yeah. So, like, Lethal League is this game. It was originally released as a Flash game maybe, like, 6 years ago, maybe about 4 years ago or something like that. Made by the fighting game community as, like, a kind of, like, think Dive Kick in that it's, like, it's a very stripped down game, right?
Right.
In the first iteration of it, it was, like, literally one stage, one music track that just looped the whole time, and then
oh wow,
and all it is like two. It was like two baseball players with bats and a ball in the middle, and the ball is lowered at the start of the match, and all it is you have to, whoever gets hit by the ball dies. So, all you have is a baseball bat, and you can aim the ball as you hit it. So you're literally just like aiming around the stage. And if you imagine the stage like a fighting game stage, think of a fighting game stage, but the outside walls, so the edges of the screen are like the ball bounces off them. So it's about like bouncing the ball like Cyclops style, using geometry right. to hit the other person with it,
like using angles. Okay.
Yeah, using angles. Yeah, but. So that's like, okay, that's kind of fun, whatever. But the cool thing about the game is every time you hit the ball, so on the bottom of the screen is a tracker of speed. It starts at 8 kilometers an hour. Every time you hit the ball, or eight units, let's just say, every time you hit the ball, it goes up by one unit. So it gets faster and faster and faster. But if you do a charge hit, no matter what the speed is, it doubles the speed of the ball.
Right.
And if you do a hit in midair, it also doubles the speed of the ball. So
very fast balls running around.
Yeah. So like at the start, it's going at 8 kilometers an hour and you can track it, whatever. And then someone does a charge hit, suddenly going 16. Then someone does a charge hit in the air and suddenly goes 32. And it's like bouncing around like fucking like ricocheting bullet style all across the map. Then someone like chances a midair hit again. So it goes up to 64. And the guy at the bottom was like prepping for it. So he goes up to 128. And then the guy on the other side of the screen is also prepping for it because just landed and the other guy only hit it straight. So it goes up to 240 something. And at the moment, it's just like a blur on the screen.
Right,
so
I assume it's impossible to see at that point.
Yeah. Well, it's essentially just like they animate it as just a blur. So what inevitably ends up happening is people start watching like it becomes like a line. So you're watching the line trace itself across the corners of the screen and you're trying to figure out like how that line is shifting with time. Cause obviously like, your screen is a rectangle, so it will never like stay stationary. And you're like ducking in like corners and shit, trying to get to a spot to where
avoid
the
ball.
Yeah, exactly. Or like doing like trick moves with like they jumping in midair as it gets to where they were and shit. And so that was the Flash version of Lethal League.
That was not the
The real version, which came out on PC like last year or early this year, I think it was last year, has four players. It was the most manic fucking. I cannot think of like.
It seems. I think it's stressful for me to think about it.
Yeah, it is. It just seems
like it's. It's too much to manage, and at some point I would just give up and just like button mash like at a certain point. Like, and I know that's not a button mash game, but no, I would just give up.
It's like a supremely tactical game because like what they also added, like each character in the new version has abilities, but it's not like Dive Kick where it's kind of they added abilities, but it detracted from the purity of the game. In this, all the abilities they added seem to like just add to the crazy. And the crazy is why you played the game in the first place. So it adds to the game. So like there's an alligator who can like cling to the walls and just stay there stationary. So the dude would just like accelerate the ball really fast horizontally across the screen. So it just goes left to right, left to right, left to right without moving. And then just jumps on the wall and just stays there. And so, like, short characters are just sitting there ducking, and the ball's going, like, 118 units across the screen, and so if you stand up, you're dead. But you have to hit the ball to be able to aim at the other guy. So, like, yeah, it just... Excellent setups, excellent, like, fucking crazy shit happening. The person who usually wins is the person who just avoids the ball for the longest right. and doesn't hit it. But also,
I assume, like, it's easy to die while attempting to hit the ball.
Oh, absolutely.
But totally failing,
because
yeah.
the game is like, has almost like nearly Meat Boy-esque, like, good controls.
Right.
But you still have to, like, it's that just means it's your fault when you fuck up, because, like, the timing on the hits is, like, it is precise, but there is a time to it. There's a delay between hitting the button, watching the dude's animation go backwards, and then strike the ball. So that you definitely have a situation where, like, you're running towards the ball to get in front of someone else and hit it before they do, and then you end up running into the ball because you forget that the animation of your swing takes a little second, or, like, especially midair hits when, like, you have to, like, jump, and you don't want to be jumping and for the ball to be in the center of your character. You want to be where your bat will be when you swing it over your head. So, like, right. yeah, it's just, like, constant, like, strategery, planning, and geometry, Cyclops style.
And then being hit very quickly with a ball.
Oh, fuck yeah. Like, the amount of matches, especially with four players, the amount of matches which started with, like, three people dying at the start of the match immediately was great. And then you can, once you start doing that, so the first thing we turned off was ball tagging. So one of the things they added off in the PC version is the person who hits the ball can't die by the ball.
Okay, so it can't, like, bounce off of the wall and hit you back in the
yeah,
head.
Yeah, you can't kill yourself at all.
Okay.
And that's stupid, because that breaks...
Yeah, it needs to be punishing
exactly.
to people who make mistakes.
100%. Like, it needs to be fucking hilarious when a person bunts the ball into the air, and then it bounces off the wall and hits them, and they die. So we first thing we did was turn that off, and then... what was it? The second thing we did was turn off the lives, because that made it more fun, because especially with four players and how many people will die instantly
right.
at the start. And the third thing we did was turn up the initial starting speed of the ball.
Oh, okay.
So
immediately quick.
Yeah, so it's yeah. immediately quick, and then that just gets the game moving, and yeah, that was
so can you bounce it off a person and kill someone else?
No. Okay. So the alligator has an ability when he has full super bar, and yeah, they added super bars. Don't worry, it's not actually that complex, but
right.
he has ability where if he has full super bar, he swallows the ball, and then you get to aim it and just fire it at someone, and it doubles the speed when you fire it as well. So you can swallow a ball at 32 units and then turn around and just look someone else directly in the face and then let it go at 64. And it's almost impossible to fucking hit a ball when it's going that fast, so they almost always die. But you always have this situation where, like, he does that, and the other guy anticipates it, so he jumps just as the other guy fires. The ball goes past him, hits the wall, comes back, and kills the gator. Like, it's, yeah. It's just great. That's just a fucking great game.
It seems like a fun party game, yeah.
Absolutely. It is a game that hasn't got my group of friends this... Like, no group has... Nothing has gotten them this excited since Street Fighter 4 originally came out.
Right. That's very high... Because we also yeah. played, like, a party game in Europe. Mm. It's, like, the Jack in the Box set,
yeah.
which is on Steam.
I heard that was really good.
We played Drawful, or Draw Something, or I forget what it is. I think it's Drawful and something else. And those are, like, the thing. It's, like, you get a word, and then you have to draw it, and
yeah.
you have to guess what it is
yeah.
with, like, twists on it. I mean, they're fun,
yeah.
But, I mean, like, that seems more like an intense game where
oh, yeah.
you're not also browsing the internet on the side or talking. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's definitely, like... It's a game for that, like, a group of really competitive people, like, who love fighting games. Like, it's a game by the fighting game community, so it's, like, a very much a fighting game kind of game.
Right.
And it's definitely a case of where, like, again, after, like, three matches, you just see everyone just start killing themselves accidentally and fucking up because everyone's just so fucking tired. So we stop playing for a while, like, you have a drink or whatever.
Then
immediately someone's like, let's just fucking play Lethal League. I'm like, yeah! And jump back on. Yeah, it was really great. So that's what I did for my birthday in terms of video games. But before that, let's see, I've got some notes here. I played a bit of... Oh, this morning, I played a bit of Portal Stories Mel. Have you heard of this?
Portal. I saw what you were playing, but I wasn't sure what it was.
So it's essentially like a mod for Portal 2. But it's like one of those mods where they did a full story mode.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So
Is it paid or is it free?
It's free.
Okay.
Yeah, it's totally free. And it's got voice acting and stuff. So it's actually pretty like impressive. You open, like, it feels
is like it good Portal. Voice acting, or is it like
it's questionable voice acting.
Right, it's like a Skyrim mod voice acting.
So it's like someone from like Europe doing an American accent.
Howdy! I am an American, like that, or is
not
it
quite that bad? But you know, okay. You know that like announcer kind of voice that they have.
Hello.
Yeah, like something like that. But like, think like old timey entrepreneur,
European imitating an American. That didn't turn out.
I forget whether the character was actually like someone from Portal. It's like you'd expect him to be named like Razor Callahan or something. Like, you know, like an old timey kind of entrepreneur-y kind of type.
So they were going for. What's his name? Cave Johnson.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, yeah. He was essentially doing an impression of Cave Johnson the whole time.
Sorry, what is the name of this again?
Portal Stories Mill.
Stories.
But he does a good job most of the time. But sometimes he slips, and it's like the last is clearly just some European dude speaking.
Yeah.
Which is funny. Like, it adds to like the charm of it because like it's a mod, right?
It gives a little bit of heart.
Yeah. But the main thing is like. From the start, like, it doesn't fuck around. Like, there's, like, I'm actually kind of worried because I'm only, like, through 5-6 puzzles into the game, and it's already getting to the point where I'm, like, I'm just sitting there going, I have no idea, like, where I'm supposed to go, like, what fucking... I can't see any portal surfaces where I need them to be, or, like, I don't even know, like...
So is definitely for people who have already played Portal even recently and are looking for more.
Because, like, definitely, I would even say recently is a good part of that because they go straight into, like, using those, like, fluids that change the surface stuff.
Complex puzzles.
Yeah, and I'd totally forgotten what all of them fucking did. So I was like, the second puzzle I asked you to solve is, like, you have to use the red fluid to create an acceleration ramp and, like, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I was like, I didn't even know what the fuck. I forgot that there were switches to turn on the red fluid. I didn't even know there were switches in that game. And there was like, it's interesting. It's definitely a game like I would have enjoyed it more if I just played Portal 2. As opposed to now. But it's still like really enjoyable. Like it's like the puzzles feel well crafted so far. And I've heard it's like 10 hours long. Like I've heard it's like.
And I assume if it's released on Steam like that, there's some vetting from Valve.
Oh yeah,
to a certain degree. And
I'm not surprised because it's a really well put together like so far package. I definitely recommend it for people who like Portal. Like it's not
the levels look really good.
Yeah, like it's like legit. It feels like the levels feel like the people who made really annoying levels from Valve made them. Like the thing is missing, and I have to say is, and again, this is partially because I played Portal 2 like years ago, was that they go straight to like the obscure solutions. Like there's no real like they don't do that ramp up. That the beauty of the Valve games is, especially with the portals, is that they have that really well done ramp up to the more difficult puzzles. And this kind of skips that and goes straight to, like, okay, semi-obscure solutions and, like, firing through gaps in the wall because you can kind of see the white ceiling on that other room over there. Like that.
And I think, the important part of, like, playing it recently, like, for that build-up to work, it's sort of like you have to be able to connect, like, oh, the thing I did 3 levels ago, I need to apply that with the thing I did 6 levels ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of thing. Like, I assume, if they're not jumping, jumping straight in, you sort of lose that.
It's the classic, like, thinking with portals. Like, it's the classic...
Right.
Not only are you remembering like mechanics, but you're also remembering like, okay, no, this is how portals work, and this is kind of how I want to be able to position them. Like simple things like momentum solutions, where it's like, okay, I have to drop from here, which will give me enough momentum to fire that way, create a portal, which means if when I go through the floor, I go through out there at a specific speed. Like they don't fuck around. That's like near the start. They're already doing that stuff, right? So
it may be longer than 10 hours for you.
If I go back to it, like, I don't know if I'm in the mood for, like that kind of humor at the moment. Mm-hmm. Like it's definitely a case of like, it's a very Western kind of, like that whole like time period of like 50s America kind of humor, that I'm not necessarily in the mood for at the moment. So, but in terms of like this, like gameplay, it's Portal, man. I've that's probably the biggest praise I can give it. Like, it feels like Portal. So
that's good.
Yeah.
It's on Steam, Portal Stories Mel. Yeah.
Yeah, just Portal Stories Mel. It's pretty easy to find, and you don't need to download Portal 2 for it to work. You have to own Portal 2, but it's an entirely separate executable, so you can just download that by itself, and so in like 3 gigs or whatever. Yeah, right. Good. Last episode, which was like 3 weeks ago, or whatever, I talked about playing a specific fighting game, just for you, Noobarama, I'm not going to go beat around the bush. I've been playing Persona 4 Arena.
Okay.
For the story, because that's how you play fighting games in 2015.
Right. Yeah. Story.
And like that game is like fucking 5 hours long or 6 hours long. Like it has a substantial story to it. And then what did I do immediately after finishing it? I fucking bought and then downloaded Persona 4 Arena Ultimax.
Oh my god.
Which is what? The sequel.
Why? Why?
Because it ends with a cliffhanger, and you want to know what happens.
Was it a good cliffhanger?
It was all right.
It's all right. Immediate buy and play.
Like partially is because like I really love like it's abusing me in a way that I appreciate, which is it's using characters I've grown to really love.
Right.
And it's canon apparently. So it's like, oh, well, if it's canon, I need to play it then.
Oh, wow. It's part of the lore.
Yeah, it's part of the lore, the extensive Persona lore established over really 2 games. Yeah, totally. But no, totally. It brings back some characters from Persona 3 that you haven't seen for a while, and they're hilarious and doing like their own thing. Like there's a dude who's like a prep, like from the first Persona, like you have little things, like for the first Persona of Arena, there's a dude who the last time you saw him, he was in like a prep school and he was like in the boxing club or whatever. And of course at the start of Persona 4 Arena, he's like a dude with like, who just wears no shirt and like a massive cape. And he like wanders the land fighting bears, to get more powerful at fighting. Like they do like the full on fucking anime-esque.
Out of Dragon Ball Z, yeah.
Yeah, there's just stupid shit. But with these characters that you really like and that you know the backstory of because you essentially grew up with them in high school. Right. And that just makes it even more endearing in a really dumb way that I can really get behind. Right. So I played Persona 4 Arena Ultimax, and that has like 2 5-hour-long stories in it. And I beat that as well. Whoa. So
double the value.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like, it's crazy. So I beat that as well. And I highly recommend it. So anyone who likes fighting games, like, those games play really nice. It takes a bit to get used to if you've all you've done, like me in the past, is Street Fighter and Lethal League, and Dive Kick. Like, it takes a while to learn the mechanics of an Arc System Works game. But once you do, it's pretty cool. And it plays real well. And it looks really sharp. Yeah, so, like, definitely, and the story is worth your time. It's not, like, as good as a proper Persona story, but it's still pretty good. And then, aside from that, I think that's pretty much it. Like, I've just been kind of dicking around reading books and stuff and learning how to blow shit up, so.
Good mix, good mix.
Yeah, that's what we've been playing.
I played one thing for 50 minutes.
Go ahead.
I bought Elder Scrolls Online. And I did character creation, okay. And then I did the tutorial, uh-huh. And I don't know if I'll ever launch it again.
But you're also the person who, like, never plays Oblivion, or, like, Skyrim, or whatever it was.
I have, like, 300 hours in Skyrim, and maybe, like,
it's all from, like, an hour at a time, and stopping.
Yeah, of me restarting the game every 5 hours, yeah.
You're an idiot. Like, you don't know how to play Elder Scrolls games.
No. I mean, I always, on my first sitting, I do, like, a proper game playthrough. Like,
right.
But I also, like, halfway through, I, like, save the game, and then don't touch it for a week, and I'm like, oh, I've forgotten too much about this character. I need to create a new one.
Oh, my God.
It's like amnesia. It's horrible.
I'm so happy you've never even... Like, you own Witcher, and the fact that you're not playing it is
fine. I haven't started it.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. Because you're never going to finish Witcher. Like, let's
no, I haven't finished it.
Yeah.
I haven't... Again, I pre-ordered or pre-purchased Dragon Age Inquisition. I got about 50 hours in. Okay. I didn't finish it. No,
it's really good, and I don't.
It's mean, really good. Yeah, I yeah. loved when I was playing it.
Yeah,
but then like my computer had problems, and I stopped for a bit, and then I forgot about it, and now I'm scared if I go back to it, I'll just like do the same thing where I'll create a new character every 5 hours.
Just don't. Like I had this problem with Deus Ex Human Revolution, right. where I like played it about 15 hours. It's a 25-hour game. I played 15 hours of it and then stopped for like 6 months and came back to it.
Yeah,
and like just seriously, dude, like just watch like a YouTube video, and that gives you. Like, that's what I did. I just literally watched like a YouTube playthrough, like just doesn't skipping feel through.
Genuine,
it.
Man.
But it reminds you of what you did.
Yeah,
because it shows you like the areas that you went through and like the people you talked to.
I think Dragon Age will be okay because I've never had the problem with Mass Effect games. I'll simply finish and then replay them.
Yeah.
So maybe Dragon Age. I think it was due to a technical problem rather than me losing interest. Right. So, yeah.
But you should go back to it. Like it's
oh for sure.
Like,
at some
point, it doesn't resolve too well, but getting there is fun. Like the journey is good.
Okay. Like right. yeah, but Elder Scrolls Online, I bought it for $15 on Grim Man Gaming, and I want a refund. 1.5
Can you? Like, is it a Steam game?
Nope.
Or,
I mean, it's not a sub. I was tempted to subscribe, but I'm already subscribed to SWTOR.
Yep.
So I probably shouldn't double subscribe to two games.
No,
I'm not.
Stop spending money when you don't have money to spend.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the gaming minute. We're going to take a quick 5-minute break / you won't really notice. Listen to these nice tunes, and we'll be back with the news. And we are back for news.
Hey.
Noobarama. You picked the right time to buy Elder Scrolls
online. Did I?
Yes, you did. Because they just announced that the Dark Brotherhood is coming to Elder Scrolls Online next year.
Oh, I think it was shit. Stop the presses. You're not joking with me, are you? No. You're not fooling with me. I'm so excited.
No, it's not just the Dark Brotherhood. The Thieves Guild is coming, too.
What? The Thieves Guild? Oh, wow!
The first two quarters of 2016. This news is only news because I'm surprised this shit wasn't already in the game. Like, how would you launch without Dark Brotherhood and Thieves Guild? What are you doing?
Combat's fucking atrocious in Elder Scrolls. It's the worst thing ever. It's horrible. It's so bad.
What we're saying is there wasn't that much in the way of
gaming. If you see this game go on sale for, like, $10 and you're like, it can't be that bad, you know? Like, you know, the subs don't give you that much. You know, I can just play this free-to-play. It'll just be, like, a subpar Elder Scrolls game. No, it's not. It's a waste. It's like 80 gigs on your hard drive, so you're already wasting hard drive. It's like, yeah, it'd be like buying another 80 gig hard drive by buying this game. That's essentially what you're doing. It's horrible. It's fucking horrible. It's like paying to have someone store their shit files on your drive. Don't buy this game. And I'm sure somebody out there is playing Elder Scrolls Online, in which case I can't really criticize because I play Star Wars The Old Republic. But yeah. Just know what I think. I don't think highly of you.
So what we're saying is there wasn't much gaming news over the last couple of weeks. So Noob Dooley,
I mean, there's that much. Blockbuster Adam Sandler movie, Pixels, as we talked about earlier.
I do have to note that, obviously, Satoru Iwata passed away, which is sad. But I also want to say that I don't think myself and Noobarama would be the people to really express much on those lines. Like, I don't have good Nintendo memories or anything like that.
So yeah.
I really respect the company and what he did for them, and I really love how he was like a the kind of, like, man who led from the front, who, like got into the lines and, like, did coding and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff is awesome. But you want to hear stuff about that, like, the Bombcast and the Beastcast totally go into, like, what he did for the industry and all that kind of stuff. And, like, again, myself and Noob aren't really the biggest Nintendo fans, so I don't really know. Like, I could I could stand here, like, give platitudes, but I'm not sure if it means anything coming from me.
But, yeah, it's a shame that he passed away.
Yeah, 55 is way young. That's
yeah, just, for that's sure.
So yeah, that happens. Like,
have you seen the Pixels movie trailer? By the way,
I haven't seen anything to do with Pixels.
Okay, because there's like a scene in the trailer where like the creator of Pac-Man goes up to like a giant Pac-Man, and it's like my child, and he bites his hand off. That's an actor portraying the creator of Pac-Man. That's not the actual creator of Pac-Man. That's really... What the fuck is the point of that scene? If I thought it was a cameo, but it's just the dude who looks like the dude.
Wow. Well, of course, the fucking creator of Pac-Man has better things to do than being Pixels.
Yeah, for sure, to be fair. But I'm not sure if he's making any games anymore, is he?
No, I don't even know what his name is. I probably should, but I don't. I apologize to people at home. God, I don't want to talk about Pixels anymore. I also don't want to talk about, like, there's not another gaming movie-ish thing out right now, or is it just Pixels? Oh, you watched a movie, didn't you?
Oh, I watched, what did I watch?
Minions.
Minions, yes. I went to go eat all-you-can-eat sushi with a friend, and then we watched Minions.
Is there anything that's worth talking about? Why do people like that? Is it a good kid's
okay,
movie?
I think it's like, oh, it's fucking, it's like little pigmen things that don't speak properly.
They're
it's
rabbits. Adorable. They're essentially the
rabbits. They're like, yeah, that. They're like big fucking yellow sausages,
yeah.
Sausage pieces, but they're adorable, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen Despicable Me, so I don't even know why I saw the movie. Like, my friend saw it, and she thought it was, like, a fun movie, but she didn't think it was that great.
Right.
And I mean, like, it was... I can see the appeal. Like, I'm not... Like, there are certain movies where I'm like, why do people like this movie? Mm-hmm. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
But, like, it's an adorable children's movie, and it's just like, maybe half of the people in the theater were kids. The other half were like adults.
The escorting adults with those
kids? No, just adults.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, right.
Like you.
Like me, but I mean there were no like male adults who went alone, right?
Okay. All right.
Like, so I didn't go
it
alone.
Became so it became the date movie for the
It's
season.
Like a date movie, okay. Sort of. Yeah. But it was okay. I thought I mean, it just, again, it literally, the main minions don't speak English, right? They they make some English words, but I mean, like, for the most part, it could be a silent film.
Is it racist?
Is it, in what sense? In like, are they supposed to be little Asians? No, they're not.
No, they're clearly not, because they're like European sounding, right? But is it like... Yeah. One of those things where, like, is that, like, just kind of making fun of how Europeans speak? Or is, like...
Well, there's words from English, there's words from French, there's words from Italian. There's, like, a bunch of different languages that they sort of intermix into their language.
Yep.
So it's not real racism. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, maybe the most racist thing is all of the human characters have caricature noses that are fucking enormous.
Okay.
I mean, it's huge. They're, like... 12 inches.
So it's racist against humans.
That's not a joke. Racist against humans, yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Against Italians, and yeah.
Okay. All right.
Racist.
Sure.
But it's fine. It's a children's film, yes.
I'm trying to look through the news here and figure out what happened.
I saw a trailer for Charlie Brown, the new Charlie Brown movie. It looks fucking awful. The worst. It's horrible.
I can't think of a movie I'm particularly looking forward to right now.
The Justice League 1 and 2, Star Wars.
Star Wars. All right. Yeah, that's the end of the year.
I don't know if I'm cautiously looking forward to it.
Because fucking...
I don't think it'll be bad, but I don't want it to be like, okay.
I'd rather have it. J.J. Abrams right now.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I really enjoyed, the first Star Trek one.
Yeah.
I didn't like Into the Darkness that much. I thought it was like.
Overall.
The plot was too stupid.
Yeah. Definitely overwrought.
Yeah.
So yeah, gaming news. All right, Evo happened.
Oh yeah.
I bet you didn't get to see any of it, right?
I wouldn't have watched it if I was here, okay, to be honest. I like fighting games, but yeah. I don't like them that much.
Horrible mistake in this.
Am I?
Yes.
I mean, I've seen clips of Evo that are hilarious. Yeah. I think the fighting game subculture is genuinely fucking funny.
Yeah.
And there are funny videos that come out of it that are horrible but hilarious at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Who Bitch This Is video? I'll link it to you later. It's fine. It's just there's a fighting game and then some lady gets really angry and then this guy is like, "Who bitch this is?"
Oh, shit.
It's also it's also
sexist.
The only...
It's
also the only gaming demographic where African Americans make them up a good chunk.
Oh, yeah.
Of the people.
Oh, I'm not sure if it's the only one, but it's definitely one where that is the case. It's definitely a lot of different people play fighting games, and it doesn't seem to be the Japanese tend to be the best at it, but that's mainly because the games come out there first, and
exactly. But I mean, it's the one thing where it's not just white nerds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ethnics, as I call them dismissively, and I can say that, you know, because I know an ethnic.
You're both ethnic, but
we're both. No, yeah.
But I think this year is one of the first of I can remember that Evo is starting to become this thing that is part of not just the fighting game community, but the gaming community as a whole.
Yeah, I think people who don't like fighting games look at Evo because it's like the same thing, people who don't really like StarCraft watch StarCraft commentary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the difference between this and StarCraft is that Evo isn't one fucking game with one league that everyone's kind of rooting for, these different people, and they become mainstays or whatever. It is a bunch of different games, and the way Evo's set up is built for drama. Built for drama, because the whole
it's a reality TV show.
Because how it works is there's the winner's bracket and the loser's bracket, and they call it it's called the loser's bracket.
That's
but
brilliant.
Essentially how it works is people have to, if you lose at any point, so you have the matchup, the normal tree shaped matchup to get to the top, right, but the grand final isn't between first and second place, it's between the winner of the winner's bracket and the winner of the loser's bracket.
Oh, wow.
Right? And how you get to loser's bracket is, at any point, if you lose, you get chucked into the loser's bracket. So, in many cases, there's, upsets on the way up as the game's going.
Right.
So, the best some of the best players of Street Fighter or whatever, fighting game we're talking about end up in the loser's bracket. But to win as a, winner of the loser's bracket, you have to beat the winner twice as many times.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yeah. So it's you have to double beat, you have to beat them.
It is like an up, you have to genuinely be significantly better to have a hope of escaping the bracket.
Exactly. Okay. So
that is really, wow.
And the cool thing is, again, because of upsets and stuff, the loser's bracket, the top eight or the top bunch of those are on the main stage. They're that good.
Right.
So Evo is this thing because five or eight different games or whatever, it's constantly shit is going off at all times at Evo. There's either upsets happening or some massive person gets there's a really really close fight or something else happens in one of the brackets for one of the games that's always on the main Evo stream. So it's one of those things where it doesn't matter if you even understand the game that's being shown because of the quality of the commentators, and these people have been doing it for years now, and the fact that games in themselves, most of the games they play are very modern, so they're very accessible, and you can really understand the game within about an hour of watching. You can understand what's happening in even a really technical game, and it's to the point where people who never play fighting games, people who aren't interested in the community or whatever, have started getting into Evo in the way they do with StarCraft, but because of how Evo is structured, they're sticking with it more.
It is drama. It is something you watch just because it is Absolutely. That sounds fun, yeah.
Yeah, and the cool thing is fighting games by their nature is literally just one, like, two people. It's like two people right. staring at, and this is hilarious because it's like a full-on stage, but on, it's just like on the right-hand side of the stage, there's like a desk with like a yeah. single, like, 27-inch monitor on it Jesus hooked up Christ. To a Xbox 360 and, or like, or Xbox One. And the two people are just literally on like chairs next to that desk right. staring at a screen. So they're like right there. So the camera, whatever it shows them, like it traces their concentration, whatever, and cutting between them and the gameplay. You can see the crowd like directly behind them. It's like, jeez. And especially when it's not on the main stage, the crowd is like 2 feet away from the people playing the game.
And I assume like the announcer, it's like in StarCraft, you can't really, you know, the players can't really yeah, hear no. what the announcer
yeah. says. Neither for the reasons, players nor like, the crowd yeah. can hear the announcers.
In, but the announcer, in I assume in EVO, is just fucking blaring like, oh, oh yeah. you're, he's getting his fucking ass kicked.
Or yeah, it's always a team of two. And they usually really have really good rapport because they've been doing it for years. So it's definitely a case where the announcers are really key, like they're like talking constantly the whole time right. And constantly filling you in. And the best part about it is that they're also filling you in on like the backstory of the players and like, oh, this guy was that guy who came from like West Japan. And there's like this whole like thing about how Tokyo is the place where shit's at. So it's like this rise up in Japan between other places of Japan and Tokyo. And like, you just get all this backstory around every fight that comes up. It's just drama. It's just 3 days of drama. I didn't get a chance to watch it live, but it's kind of better because I got to watch, like, I just Googled, like, what's the best parts. And right. unlike any other year, every single game that was shown at EVO had, like, a full, like, no, you need to see the top 8 of this. No, you need to see, like, these matches. It's awesome. Uh-huh. Or, like, these matches are closest. This year, of all the EVO years, again, because some of these games have been out for, like, 2-3 years now, some even longer, of the most, like, ever, it came down to, because in the end, it's, like, best of 5. So you have to win 3-2. But this right. is the first time that almost every final was 2-2 going to the final match, 1 round each out of a best of 3 game, last round decides the whole grand championships. Jesus. Like, it was nail-biting the whole fucking time. And so, like, great, just amazing things happened at EVO this year. So, like, one of the things was, this wasn't the final, whatever, just a funny moment. it's like, you don't know, like, apparently, and again, I'm not speaking from experience here, but playing a video game in front of other people is hard. Playing a video game on a stage where other people yeah. are like about 3 meters behind you and all of them are shouting at the top of the lungs at all the time, and just like, and being in a grand finals at the same time and being right next to the person who is your like foe. Jeez. And like, and playing a purely skill-based game because fighting games are skill-based entire or like right. and strategy obviously, but still skill and strategy. Like, there's just so much pressure on these guys. Like, they're like fucking sweating. Like, it's just like, you can tell like how fucking pumped they are and excited they are and terrified they are at the same time when getting up on the stage. Except for some of the Japanese guys who are just like fucking stone
cold. So is there like ever, does drama ever escalate into like real drama?
Oh no. So it's, the thing about the fighting game community is, I suspect it's because they get it all out by playing fighting games in the first place. Right. But they're really nice people. Like,
oh wow.
In most cases, they're really nice people. Like, sometimes their tactics are questionable. Like, they're assholes, inverted commas, because they play the game like assholes right. to win. So you definitely have these people who are hated by the community. Like, Gamer B in this year was, like, a guy who's, like, been the last couple of years, keeps getting close to the finals, and finally got to the finals in Street Fighter 4 this year. And his tactic is, like, he has this character called Elena in Street Fighter 4 Ultra, where she's the only character in the game who can heal. So her ultra is to heal. So essentially he would just like absorb damage and just waste time, right? And just get little bits of chip damage here and there on the other guy, like just the pokes and footsies or whatever, just getting small right. bits of damage over and over. And at the end of the match, he'd fucking heal and then he'd time out. And he'd win because he had more health. Like shit, like he just did that like over and over and over again. But it got to the point where like people were finding out that tactic. So everyone hated him at the start because, like, oh, that's fucking such a shit fucking tactic. But people, like, but these players are so good that they start adapting to it and, like, picking counter picks and, like, trying to chip him out, like, faster and, like, just go full offensive mode. And it came out that, like, no, he's actually really good with this character. He just also uses this really shitty tactic on the side.
Right.
So, like, the crowd just, like, turned around and started, like, rooting for this guy because they're, like, she's, like, a character who's never been in the finals before. And it's, like, holy shit, this guy's just found a way to make it work. And he's been, like, taking all comers. Like, he's, like, the underdog now. He's, like, working his way up. He gets into the loser's bracket, right? And then he goes straight through the loser's bracket, beats the loser, and he goes all the way to the finals. Like, that's gamer beat. That was fucking sick shit happened, right? But, like, the funny moment I was talking about earlier was, like, people got so excited. This one guy got so excited. There's two moments. I've forgotten all the players' names because I'm not that deep in the
fighting community.
But this white guy gets on stage. And he goes to the goes to the seat, and the Asian guy, he's the opponent for that match. And at the start of the I think he loses the first round or whatever. And he just starts psyching himself up. He's just, like, full on starts psyching himself up. Gets up, like, stands up, like, starts walking around the stage and shit. Just, like, psychs himself up and shit. And then he takes off his shirt. Like, this just, like, fucking, like, you know, average build. No, he did not have a good body. Like, just white dude with his shirt off, just, like, walking around the stage. And then he walks over and puts his shirt on the other guy's, like, around the other guy's neck.
Wow.
And he's just, like, they stand there, like, fucking, like, you know, making poses and shit, and then sits down. And then the Asian guy, who's just, like, stone cold right now, because he's got this, like, sweaty shirt around his neck.
Right.
He's just, like, there, like, hitting the buttons, because the crazy thing about them, it's like StarCraft, where, like, you know how StarCraft players are always clicking?
Yeah.
These guys do the same thing, but they're always just, like, doing inputs in their joysticks, right? Just constantly doing inputs in the joystick. So he's just sitting there, like, using his hands, putting inputs in the joystick, and he's like shrugs. And you just see him shrug, and then he takes off his shirt too. And then throws it on the ground. So two, like, shirtless people playing fighting games on stage.
Shirtless nerds on stage.
It's fucking good. There's another one where
that was my stripper experience.
Yeah, and it's just it'd be better. Like, this one was more exciting. The crowd just went fucking wild. Like, I again, fighting game community, fucking amazing crowds. One of them was there's a guy who was fighting against one of the best players. I think it was Guilty Gear Xrd, XRD. Guilty Gear Xrd, and which is an amazing game to watch. So it's like probably one of the most beautiful games ever made. Like,
wow.
Like, usually, like, races and stuff show off new hardware, but you should watch some footage of Guilty Gear Xrd. Not because it's, like, each frame is particularly technically impressive, but what you realize is, and they talked about it in Best Looking Game last year, I think it actually won Giant Bomb's Best Looking Game in 2014. It looking at it being played, it looks like a gorgeously rendered 2D fighter, right?
Yeah.
But the whole time, all the models are actually being rendered in totally 3D.
So yeah, that's why I just saw it. I just saw, like, I thought it's like, this is just a 2D game, and then it froze for a second and did, like, a move, and I'm like, oh my god, this is 3D.
Yeah, it just, like, it zooms around the characters and the special moves, and you're like, holy shit,
that and it's seamless. It's totally seamless.
It's because it's always running in 3D. It's not, they're not fucking around. It's like Unreal Engine 4 or something, and it just looks fucking gorgeous, like, so good. Tags Guilty Gear Xrd. So a guy comes up,
that's XRD.
Yeah,
for people who do that.
And the guy comes up, and he's versing, like, one of the best players in the world, right? And he's, like, one of those underdogs that everyone got behind and loves and whatever.
Right.
And they're playing, and I think it's 2-2 or whatever, and he wins the first round of a game. And, like, someone just snaps. Like, he thinks he won the whole thing. So he gets up, and he's, like, just, like, cheering and shit, and, like, just, like, screaming at the crowd and running around the stage and, like, fucking going high five. And why the other guy, like, the best player in the world, or one of the best players in the world, just sitting there, just, like, killing his character for the second round. And it's like,
oh, wow, it just went all with
that. Yeah, it just killed his character and just stood there, just killing it. And the other guy is, like, going around the stage. And then you see this moment of realization where he, like, looks around and goes, oh shit, no, there's another round. And he just runs back to his fighting stick and just tries to defend himself and loses. And then the other guy, like the best player, he just wins the game and he does the exact same thing and like the exact same way the guy who just got up did. Wow. Just to be an ass, but also like they're friends and whatever. So right. He's just like totally making fun of him. But just like goes on the stage, like doing poses and shit and like high fiving people in the crowd. And yeah, it was one moment. But the biggest piece of drama, by far the biggest piece of drama, is going back to Gamer B, Street Fighter 4 Ultra. The obviously the big show, a game of the show, like the last thing shown at Evo and the last thing at the night on that night, grand finals, winner the losers bracket, Gamer B, who worked his way back up versus Momochi, Ken player, which I love because I'm a Ken main, because I'm an asshole and a scrub apparently, but you know, whatever. So he plays Ken, usually.
I need those thunder thighs.
Fuck, yeah, you need that Chun-Li in your life. So he plays Ken usually, and they're sitting down fighting, right? First round, he plays an amazing Ken. Game B plays an amazing Adon. At this point, he's not using that character who heals himself. He can play a couple characters really well. So he's playing Adon, which is better against Shoto characters. He beats Ken on that round, and he's like, oh, okay, shit. Well, Mochi's like the best Ken player in the world, and this guy just beat his Ken. And Mochi's just like sitting there and is like going, okay, all right. He picks Evil Ryu, and then the crowd's like, whoa, I haven't seen fucking Mochi play Evil Ryu in forever. And you people at home might not know why this is a big deal, but like,
I don't know why that's a big deal.
One of the cool things about fighting game communities is the idea of having a pocket character.
Right.
Like, people play the whole tournament with one character, and at the last game, they switch to a different one.
Yeah.
And it's always like the thing like, oh shit, like because everyone's studying each other's moves and stuff. Like everyone's like getting used to, like, okay, this is how he plays Ken. Okay, this is what I should do in this situation. All that kind of stuff. It's all about the mind games. So pocket characters are like some of the most dramatic moments of fucking Evo, because it's like, oh shit, no one saw him playing that character. And that like totally throws off the other guy's game. But the other guy's a good Adon. And Evil Ryu, his whole thing is he does huge damage with huge combos, but he has really low life. So he takes a lot of damage as well. So it goes all the way down to 2-all. Last match. This is fucking Street Fighter Ultra. Main stage. Everyone's watching. Show me people on Twitch. Twitch is just going fucking wild. And it's like literally the last game. So the first part, it's again, the games are 3 rounds, best of 3. For the within the actual matches, Evil Ryu wins the first round. Momochi wins the first round. I was like, oh, sweet. Okay, all right. Everyone, like, the crowd goes quiet. It's like, fuck. All right, cool. Second match starts. All right. They exchange, like, one exchange, and then you get Xbox controller disconnected from system. And it's like,
oh, no.
It's like, wait, what? And Momochi, who was, like, Evil Ryu / Ken player, starts looking around and just starts like hitting his stick. He's like, fucking, what is this, right? Because how it works is, because fighting games are all about all about like momentum and keeping that your blood pumping and your brain safe. Right. It's all about that focus. That if you pause a game accidentally or otherwise, you immediately forfeit that round.
Oh.
Right? So it's nuts, because some people in the crowd and even the commentators got confused, because they thought you forfeit the game, not just the round.
Right.
So people started going fucking ape shit. They're like, this can't be. And it turns out that Mochi hadn't accidentally hit pause or whatever. His actual controller was broken.
Jeez. Okay.
First time ever, I think, in EVO history that a controller broke in a final. Barely, like, these trolls, these like $200-$300, like, these are really like fucking sturdy things. They're like 2 inches thick, massive pieces of plastic, right? And like, it turns out like its whole thing is like Razer's trying to get into the controller scene, right? But everyone else, like the mainstay of fighting game communities, is Mad Catz controllers, right? So he's sitting there going, okay, the game paused, and the only way he was able to pause it was literally by disconnecting his controller from the system. Jeez. So they put the other guy's controller back into the system in his port, I think, and unpause the game, put it back into the other guy's game, so Game B's game, and Game B hits him twice, so that his health is slightly higher than Evil Ryu's health. Right. So when it times out, he'll win that round because so he essentially gets that round because of the rule. Oh, right?
Jeez, that's a dick so move.
Well, it's he's allowed to have that round because of the pause. Yeah. So it's
but even though it's just like an act of God,
It's not his fault, right? It's one of those things where like as if you couldn't. That's like, too bad. That's kind of bullshit. So they're sitting there, and he's like, okay, yeah. When the next round starts, I start again. And it's like 70 seconds counting down. And so they have 70 seconds to find a new controller. But the thing is, the dude, and this is, again, a fighting game. So he's used to using Razer controllers. And when you get that good at a game, it matters what kind of controller you have.
Different. I assume it would.
So they're running around going, fuck, does anyone have a Razer controller? We have like 70 seconds to find a controller to plug it back into this fucking system to get the game going. Otherwise, it's going to lose the whole fucking tournament. So they're running around, and everyone's like, and this is the last day of Evo, so everyone's already packed up. And they're like, no, we don't have any fucking Razer controllers. Like, they're like barely anyone has them in the first place, because then you're just trying to get into the community or whatever. It's like, and they're running around, like, people are literally running through the crowds going, do you have a Razer controller? And everyone's like, no. And they're like raising these Mad Catz controllers in the air, and there's like this whole fucking thing about that. And then they're like, fuck it, whatever. And then it's like timing down the last couple of seconds. And they give him a Mad Catz controller because, like, fuck it, right? And at the same time, Razer tweets on Twitter is like, oh, thanks for Mad Catz for, like, helping us with the difficult situation or some shit right there. Right? It's like weird back-end shit happening on that end of the deal. But then it times out, starts the new match, even with a different controller, last second, fucking Momochi brings it home, takes the final. It was an awesome beat of drama. Like, this is the shit. This is why you watch Evo. Like, it's just fucking...
Yeah, that seems pretty intense. Yeah. I might have to tune in next time.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's just, like, crazy because, especially with the commentators going the whole time, going, oh, fucking... And they're discussing the tactics and, like, how they change characters and, like, oh, man, it's sick. It's sick. Really good. Really good. Highly recommend Evo this year. I think... a couple podcasts amazing. Go into it.
Yeah.
Like I think definitely the Beast cast goes into this week, and then the Co-optional podcast also talks about this week. So yeah, if you haven't got enough Evo, definitely a lot of reaction stuff out there as well. It's really good.
You think they'd have backup ones on hand just in case?
You would. But it's usually like bring your own controller. And these controls are like, because you get so used to your controller, right? And you get used to it. It's interesting.
And I assume even with the same kind of controller, like, I assume you can, you know, use one in, essentially.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Zip for a while.
Yeah, you wear it in a way, and it feels like a specific way. Especially with that end of, like, how good these people are and how much they use these things. Like, it definitely matters. But the guy was able to pull it home anyway, which is pretty impressive. And the combos he pulls off are just fucking pretty great as Evil Ryu. It was good. Really good. It's all up there on YouTube and Twitch, so you can rewatch Evo if you want to. It's like, the beauty of like esports is like it's up there immediately, and you can always like go back and like have a look at and stuff.
Esports.
That happened this Fortnite.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
What else fucking happened? Something else that happened. Oh yeah. So how do you think? And this is non-gaming news, but I wanted to bring it up. How do you think about our new home amongst the stars, Nubaroma?
I think I read it takes 412 million years with current technology to arrive to our new home. So it is, even if we start today, we won't be there for at least another.
You and I will never
see. Human beings haven't been around that long.
No.
Let's just put it that way. That is about. What, 400 times the length of Homo sapiens?
Yeah, pretty much. 400
times the length, yeah.
Yeah.
So, good luck.
So what we're talking about is NASA's discovery, and again, this is not gaming news, but I wanted to talk about it anyway, because fuck it. NASA discovered the first Earth-sized planet in the habitable zone, so the zone around a star where water is liquid. So far. This is the first one we've ever discovered. It's called Kepler-452b. That's a really beautiful name for our potential Homo systems.
I mean, it's called the Kepler because it's discovered with the Kepler telescope. I believe. Yes. Yeah. It's publicly announced, I guess, like 3-4 days ago or something like that. And it's essentially, it's like the first rocky. It's potentially like a proper
Earth.
Solid ground, there's a possible chance that it may be a gas planet. They don't know for sure yet, I believe.
Right, because all they know is around Earth size.
Hmm.
And
it's like 1.5 Earths, I think.
Yeah, and it's in the habitable zone. So it's like, that's really all they know about it. Like, they don't know what its atmosphere is like, I don't think. Because
no.
They have to use, like, different spectrometry or whatever to figure out what the atmosphere is of these of exoplanets. And like, there's like all the stuff they don't know, but what they do know is like, yeah, it's like one and a half times the size of Earth. But like, more interesting to me is like, it's like 1.5 billion years older than Earth.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. It is 1,400 light years away, which would approximately take about 25.8 million years, assuming we were going at the speed of the New Horizons spacecraft,
right,
which goes at about 58,000 kilometers per hour.
Yeah.
25 million years. That's a sizable sum.
That's.
Oh, sorry. Continue before I interrupted.
No. I just really want to say, like, I just, man, if, imagine that planet. I know this is impossible, but I don't care. Imagine that planet had life on it, right? That started 1.5 billion years before our planet had life on it. Like,
yeah.
What could it be like? What?
Maybe. Well, like, the idea is, I'm not a space person. There are people who definitely know space better than me, and that's about 95% of the Earth's population.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like, water ran through Mars at some point, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, it's, yeah, maybe. Maybe this what is, would, like, halfway between Mars and here. And, like, Venus is so fucked up on greenhouse gases that it just, it will crush you. But if you lived at a certain point within its atmosphere, it actually gets to Earth-like levels.
Right.
Which is crazy.
But I'm thinking about it like in terms of like fucking a sci-fi epic, right?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine a civilization 1.5 billion years older than ours. Like, I don't even...
It may not exist. Let's put it that way.
They could be like clouds of erogenous gas, like in Tested Fame. Like, it's just like... To the point where humanity is like, okay, well, all we really care about is our pleasure centers, so why don't we just all transform ourselves into clouds of gas that all we feel is pleasure forever? Like, it's, they could be like that kind of fucked up, kind of crazy. Or they could be like fucking, I don't know, like Masters of the Universe, crazy, like superhuman, like I fucking nanomachines, I don't know. Like,
maybe. It's safe to say that. If they exist, they probably might have discovered us before we discovered them.
Maybe these are the people.
And also because of the fact that it's 1,400 light years away, mm-hmm. What we are seeing is like 1,000 years back in time, too, which is crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like, oh man, I don't know. I just find that dumb. Like, even though it's highly improbable that in any case or form, like, just imagine what our civilization would be like given 1.5 billion years more. To evolve.
I can't imagine. I'd assume
I have no idea.
We wouldn't look, well, because it's, you know, evolution occurs along millions of years. We would look different physically entirely. Yeah.
But
we'd just be all bald men.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, 100 million years is what took us from like fucking early humans to what we are now, and we look a little like quite a bit different. Like, that's hairy specifically. Everything else is about very similar, really. But that's only 100 million years. Like, this is 11 times that. In terms of change.
Right.
Like, yeah, you're right. Like, we could be all...
Well, no, it's not even... Like, Homo erectus was maybe 2 million years ago, the first incidents, and they lasted until maybe 70,000, I think? Something like that.
Wait, so
I mean...
Yeah, when did humans start? When did Homo sapiens...
Humans started about, I think, 700,000, and then there was a certain level of evolution within that 700,000.
Right.
So
I'm thinking about mammalian history rather than
human
history. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, like, they could be, yeah, man, dude. They, again, that's, so 1 million years, like, max. So 100,000
years. Not even 700,000 years. 100,000.
100,000 years.
Jesus Christ. That's so not a very long around, time.
Yeah, that's not long at all. Like, so they're what, like, fucking 10 times 1,500. So 10,500 times longer around than we are.
Jesus. That's crazy.
Our whole history. And that's like us using sticks to where we are now. Like, fucking...
Yes.
Yeah, man. That's just... I don't know. It's just a little piece of, like, imagination in my head. That's just so excited. Space is cool.
Nice.
I hope they are. It'd be funny if we get there, like if like from like further spectral analysis, we find like signs of nuclear radiation or something. Like it's just, it's like further hints to our inevitable future.
We just need to. No, as that telescope to Pluto gets closer, we'll figure out that one of those moons are in fact a mass effect relay, and we will be able to get there very soon.
Oh, that would be so
very
sick.
Very soon.
That'd be so cool. Yeah. Oh. Anyway, that's pretty much it for news in general.
That wasn't even video game news at the end there.
There you go. I just need to talk about it. I just need to say out loud, like, imagine 1.5 billion years. Where will we be in 1.5 billion years? Probably dead.
Yeah. Write in your thesis, your essay.
I think we would have left Earth by then. I think we'll figure it out.
Oh, for sure. I think we'll probably leave Earth within the next 1,000.
Yeah, let alone billions. Like, fuck. That's beyond imagination.
I don't think anything has been alive for a billion in terms of like
a single species. Yeah, except for like maybe like fucking some types of fish. No, billion, none.
No,
none.
Not even. No, none. No. Yeah.
Fuck. Anyway.
Jesus.
And with that, that's it, I think, for this week's episode. Thanks
very much off-topic talk.
Yeah.
It is very Scotchcast. 100% Scotchcast.
That's what you tune in for. That's what you got. I'm sorry. Again.
Last 1 billion years was the beginning of multicellular life. So no animals, just multicellular organisms.
Fuck. Oh, so we went from that to where we are now in a billion years. Imagine us a billion years from now.
It'd be hilarious
if we all just like still the fucking same. Just like
we decided
like technology has stopped our requirement for evolution.
That's insane.
We're just the same fucking people. Maybe we lived like 10 years longer. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, so with that, thank you for listening. New Barama, any plugs for the week?
Other than the brothel and the strip club, PC Gaming Hub. Sure. Come on there, we can talk, and maybe we can go to a Japanese brothel in 2019 or something like that.
You're planning to go to Japan, are you? Is that
yeah. Oh, I think we're joking about it, but also this trip started as a joke, so it may very much well be a thing to go East Asia, Korea, Japan.
That'd be cool.
China. It'd be fun.
Oh,
yeah.
Game of B is from Taiwan, which is another element of drama.
Yeah.
Like the whole, like,
Okay.
Anyway.
Wait. One quick thing before we... First of all, did you hear about the thing about the video gamer who got caught or who admitted doing performance enhancing drugs?
Oh, that weird thing with like esports and like how they're what's the drug? It's like some like focus enhancing drug.
Yeah, it enhances like I don't know, it's weird. It's sort of weird. Like we've gotten to this point in video games where you know like performance enhancing drugs in video game wise, you think it's just cheating, like using hacks.
Yeah,
but now it's literally like physical enhancement. That's pretty crazy.
But, like, but at what point is like, well, is caffeine a fucking performance enhancing drug? Like,
but I mean, the idea is like, versus like readily accessible, right?
Yeah,
and where it makes a permanent, temporary change in gameplay and things like that.
I don't know. It's just weird. I don't know.
It's Adderall. Okay, it's Adderall.
Right.
What?
And I think it's fine. I think it's fine to have this being part of the conversation now. I like that Adderall is being considered as something that can be banned from.
Oh, for sure.
The weird thing is, like, for me, is like a bunch of nerds in the bathroom taking pee tests for Adderall.
Like, that's what I'm thinking. That's hilarious. That's of course nerds use Adderall. Like, that's just like a common thing. Just like, oh, I need Adderall so I can browse Reddit for a bit longer tonight. But it's like, oh no, I need Adderall so I could play video games.
Yeah,
yeah.
Focus more in the fucking sports.
It's pretty funny.
The sports game I'm playing.
That's where video. But esports is like, going with Evo, it's like, it's huge. It's enormous. Yeah.
It's big.
There are people who don't play video games and watch video games because it's interesting to watch.
As the money gets bigger, stuff like this becomes a bigger question.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And as it it becomes more and more all pervasive. Like,
the Dota tool, how much is it? It's ridiculous right now. I think the pool is, let me just loading the page, $17 million. That means every team that makes it to the finals, I think, wins $1 million regardless. Jeez. which is fucking insane. They're playing video games. Oh, yeah. Goddamn.
Yeah, probably. And so, yeah, my plug this week was... I didn't really have one in mind. I wasn't even expecting to fucking record this week. There is a... Like, last week, like last episode, I talked about To the Moon, the little indie game that everyone should play. I didn't have my access to Steam because on my iPad for a while, so I watched a playthrough of To the Moon just to remind me of how awesome that game was.
Right.
The channel which I watched it on, I'm trying to find it now, is called Angel something. Give me a second. I apologize to people at home for this, but I, you know what? Fuck it. You've gotten this far. You can stick with me for another couple seconds. Angel Arts. Angel Arts. A-N-G-E-L-A-R-T-S. He does a really great playthrough of To the Moon. It's cool because he's like, you can see him going through the same emotional journey as you do. Like, he's crying at the end. It's fucking great. It's cool because he also like sits there and like he actually talks about what he's thinking, like when he's playing it, like how he feels about what's happening on screen, which helps with that game because it kind of increases. He's also gay and just got married, which is cool. So it's like
photos
of his gay marriage.
Is it because of the ruling in the states?
I think so because this is like a bunch of wedding photos now up and
that
kind of stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really nice. So yeah, just in general, Angel Arts. Check him out. He does a couple playthroughs.
Before that, did you see that the cat or the Had a Full Boyfriend sequel is on Steam? Did you see that?
The sequel? Is that a sequel?
There's a sequel, yeah.
Is that Holiday Star?
Oh, it might be a it's Valkyrie Hat or something.
Oh, I've not heard of it. I've not heard of this.
No. What is it called? Oh, the sequel is somewhere over here. But essentially, you know, we could play this game. Oh, we could play this game and then record it.
Oh my god.
It's a sequel. We finished one.
We can't. We have to finish the fight. But that means we have to play Holiday Star as well.
Holiday Score. Sorry. That came out on Steam. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Right now. That was out a couple years ago. But like now it's on Steam and like a fully featured version.
Well, it's coming out on Steam this year.
Right.
This is what Devolver Digital has said.
Oh wow! Great.
Yeah. So yeah.
It's also like I think it's on a fucking PlayStation 4 now as well or something.
I think so. But I mean, I often forget that we played that for a solid
6 hours,
17, 18 hours. No, more.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It was a ridiculous amount of time.
we did 100% it because you have to.
We did 100% it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it got super, like, it surprised us by how deep it went with like the crazy plot.
But also by the end of it, we hated it.
Yeah.
Like, it was like,
we hated it. Yeah,
unbearable nonsense.
Yeah, it was boring. It was fucking boring at some point, yeah.
Oh my god. But, is that up on... I think it's up on our fucking YouTube channel, like the Lincoln Cast.
It's on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, Lincoln Cast on YouTube. So if you want, you can check that out. I'm not even going to put that in as a plug. It's purely by your own discretion.
It exists. It exists somewhere. Yeah. You can find it. Good luck.
If you do, then more power to you. It's just me and you fucking playing Had a Boyfriend. Like... The thing is about those games is that the people who are successful with streaming those games do voices. We don't do that.
Yeah.
It's just us quietly reading.
Complaining. Yeah. And like just coughing disgustingly into the microphone once in a while. Yeah. That's great. Died halfway through the playthrough. We had to start over again, I think.
Did we? Oh, yeah.
No, it's like into episode 4 or something.
Yeah, we died. That's funny. Anyway, so of our real things, but grab on piece of game hug, Eagle Hearts. You'll see those in the plugs. Thank you for listening this week, and goodbye.